B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let the party begin!
The show starts now.
Oh, it is opening day. In more ways than one. John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Appreciate you getting up early with us. Appreciate every one of you that fires up that app every day. Like while you're shaving, getting dressed for work, taking it with you all the time. Because you have a radio right in the palm of your hand. We really appreciate you. Those who get in early on Twitch.tv and YouTube, we love you too. And of course, those listening on the radio or using Alexa. We appreciate all the Alexa listeners too. Like that's how I listen back in the apartment. But it's opening day and we've been waiting for it. Waiting for it a long time. Get out of the car this morning and Bob, first thing out of his mouth is exactly what I'm thinking. Boy, it feels like opening day, doesn't it? Windy and rainy, and they say it's going to change as the day goes on. So hopefully we will have a nice afternoon for the Phillies opener. But where we get started here in the 6 o'clock hour, brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White here for the pro. Every once in a while, I listen to Bob Cooney. No, seriously, Bob, I do. I listen. Every once in a while. And I love his idea of waking up and trying to focus on one positive thought each morning. I think it's a great just sort of exercise. And it's something that I've needed to do during the course of this year. So I think it's a neat new thing. So that was something I decided today. That's what we're going to try to do. It's a beautiful day despite the weather. And it's opening day. It's a fresh start. It's 0-0. It's a day for positivity. But I ask you all, how long can we all go without having an invasive thought? The nagging doubt that sticks in your head. I'm not talking about a BS session either with the fan base. How long could we talk about the Phillies just focusing on the positive? So just, we all seem to agree around this show and around this room that this team will probably have a winning record. So let's focus a little bit on how they get there. So except when Jeff Francoeur joins us this morning at 7:40 and before the Ricky Bow Hour begins at 9, how long can we stay positive on the 2021 Phillies? I'd say $5 goes on the table from the person who isn't positive, and then if somebody else becomes not positive, then they put down $5. My guess is we can find enough things to believe in about a team that we think is going to be a winning team. But we need your help all morning long, too. The thought that your Bob Cooney thought of the morning, you can share with us at 610-632-0975. If you're a Phillies fan waking up on opening day and you've got that the positive thing that's going to carry you through, we'd love to hear from you inserting yourself into the conversation all day long today with those positive thoughts at 610-632-0975. And that's where we begin on the John Kincaid Show with Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, and Pat Egan. See, Bob, I told you I listened to you. So I decided it's April 1st today. And I decided now for the rest of the year, I'm going to wake up every day. I'm going to try to do what you do. When the water from the shower hits my head. So that's how I'm going to remember it. Because I always have to give myself something to remember.
Okay.
So when the water in the shower from my Bradford White water heater, when the water hits me, it's that positive thought. It will remind me, what's my positive thought of the day?
He's telling you he's thinking about you in the shower.
And my positive thought of the day was today.
I kind of took it that way too.
My positive thought of the day was that this is my first opening day home as a Phillies fan since 1994.
Yeah.
And to me, that's really exciting. That's really exciting because it's something that has been a habit for me. It's something that is part of my routine to go to games, to hang out, and just as a fan, I love it. And that was my positive thought this morning, is that anytime I want to, I can immerse myself in the Phillies, putting on the radio, putting on the TV, not having to go through an app.
Yeah.
So that was my positive thought today. As we get started.
Yeah, my positive, I love this. As I said earlier this week, this is one of my favorite days of the year, opening day. And it is. It should all be about positivity. Now, there have been years with the Phillies that you start the season and it's, oh, God, I got to go through this. This isn't one of them.
No, it's not.
And it's hope more than anything. I don't think, you know, you said that we all have outlooks that they'll have a winning record this year.
Which is just 82 wins,
sure,
by the way.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
I think we're all there, right? I'm not assuming on anybody.
No, I think 81.5 is the over-under that we went over last night. I take the over on that. And the hope is that you make the playoffs. I love these type of seasons.
By the way, the playoffs will be 5.
Yes.
It passed the time.
Oh, they finally decided.
No. It just passed the time when they had the opportunity to make the change. That expired.
So it's 5 only because of the expiration
date.
What the hell is their problem?
Only because they never came. Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, what the hell?
So it's 5. You only got 2 wild cards. And that might be bad news.
It could be. But my most exciting thing is Alec Bohm. I just can't wait to watch him this year. I can't wait to see what he really is this year. That's my excitement for the Phillies.
Yeah, Alec Bohm is certainly pretty exciting. You know, I'm looking forward to Nola and Wheeler. You know, a guy like Zach Eflin is going to kind of decide what he is as a major leaguer. It's nice to have Real Muto back, you know. Not that I ever really thought he was going to leave, but the fact that he's back is fun. But Alec Bohm is what I'm most excited about, too. It's going to be a really fun year. I mean, this lineup, 1 through 8 and tinkering and how you get. I'm excited to see the lineup today. Like when the lineup card comes out at probably 1 o'clock, 1:30, whatever it may be. I'm excited to see what it is because we don't really know. And there's a lot of fun possibilities with this lineup. There's some versatile hitters. And then the season's all going to come down to can starting pitching stay healthy and can the bullpen not soil themselves on a nightly basis.
Did you hear Joe Girardi yesterday with Mike Missanelli, Pat? Did you get to hear any of that?
I missed it.
Joe Girardi yesterday was, first of all, for everybody who tells you that, my brother's a high school coach. And then you hear Joe Girardi. Joe Girardi was spectacular yesterday with Mike Missanelli.
He's a good talker.
He's also a good manager. Successful guy at his job. He seemed to be very, very, I don't want to say very, very positive, but there was a quiet confidence about him that he likes his team.
Good.
Quiet confidence. Is yours quiet? Is your confidence quiet? Is your confidence mildly loud?
Mildly loud because this division's so good. So I think the team's going to be drastically improved because of their bullpen. I mean, Bob's laid it out. If you lower 3 runs, which is a lot,
that'd be huge.
Yeah, your bullpen is a mediocre bullpen at that point. So I think they're going to be really improved, but
now watch the butt. You might get $5. Positivity. Positivity.
I like the team.
You don't want to put up $5.
607.
Because this will be. He didn't do it though. He stopped himself.
The opposite. No, you stopped him. He didn't
stop himself. I stopped.
I don't have $5, Bob. I said, back off.
The idea of
make it a quarter.
The idea of the positive. Joe Girardi yesterday, and by the way, again, if you didn't get to hear it with Mike Missanelli yesterday, it was excellent. And Joe Girardi, I would take it, Bob, a quiet confidence yesterday. I heard a guy who likes his team. He wasn't overselling his team.
Yeah.
He was certainly addressing things that he needs to see to believe in.
Yeah, but
very honest assessment.
Yeah, well, and one of the keys, John, is the excitement that you showed about Alec Bohm yesterday, I love it. And
I'm a believer.
Yeah. And so I think that's what keeps Girardi level-headed is, well, I can't get too hyped because I am relying on basically he is considered a second-year player, but basically a first-time, full-time third baseman. He's got to be big for them this year. He's got to be really good for them this year. So we were talking about it yesterday about you're not going to get power numbers from left field and center field.
Or potentially first base.
Exactly. So that
potentially.
I don't want to say pressure, but that puts a lot of focus on Alec Bohm.
Yeah, and that is one of the things I sensed a little apprehension with Joe's expecting more out of Reese.
We better get more. If they want to have any shot at one of these 5 playoff teams, you need Reese to. Look, we all know he's got a great understanding of the strike zone. We know he can get on base. We know he's an intelligent hitter. We need some pop.
There you go. Some of the positivity. And we want yours, too, at 610-632-0975. Did you know that NJ Diet contractually guarantees that you can lose 20 to 40-plus pounds in only 40 days? And they're now offering live online video consultations. Call 855-5-NJ-DIET or go to njdiet.com. Chuck joins us from his shower this morning. Chuck, I love the idea you're on the Fanatic. Sweet. And welcome to opening day, Chuck.
Good morning, everybody. It's opening day. And look, a lot of people at the station know, but some people don't, but go Braves.
You're a Braves guy, eh, Chuck? Really?
I grew up a Braves fan. I'm actually, my grandfather was a professor at Georgia for a little while. My dad lived in Athens, and I grew up a Braves fan. I never was actually a Philadelphia sports fan until 2000. And then I kind of gave up baseball with the strike. I didn't give it up, but when Chipper Jones and all them kind of left, I kind of left with baseball too. And I became a, Cuz calls me a 3-for-4 fan.
So you're 3-for-4.
And he actually did a trivia thing with me on the air because he wasn't happy when he found out. But he did a trivia thing and did some Braves trivia stuff, and I answered all the questions like Steve Avery and all that kind of stuff.
So you weren't the Fugazi?
No. I'm
so
a
that's
real
what...
Braves fan. I've been a Braves fan since 1980.
Well, it's, I mean, you're still welcome. I mean, you know, we're not banning, right? I mean, come on, Jack.
No, I don't.
I wish you all the worst this season, Chuck.
I don't call it Raz. Yeah, I know the Philadelphia love, and I don't call it Raz and stuff like that. So
there you go.
I'm a huge Frenchie fan. I love Frenchie.
Well, he'll be on today. He'll be on today at 7:40. And
I'm looking forward to it.
We appreciate it, Chuck, and enjoy your day in the shower. How's it going, Bob? I'll show you here what I texted last night to. Read the blue up top on that text that I sent to. No, you can read it out loud. You can share it with the audience.
See it.
Your eyes are bad. His eyes are bad on that one. Just read the top blue one.
Send nudes.
There you go.
Can't wait to see you tomorrow. I wish you good health and much success in 2021 as your team secures that top wild card berth. Next time you come to Philly, I hope I can see you.
There you go. That's Alex Anthopoulos, the Braves general manager, as I texted him. Good health. Every one of my friends in baseball last night got a text. And as I said to Anthopoulos, I wish your team good health and good luck as you secure the top wild card spot. Because hopefully we will be seeing the Phillies.
I wish that was reality.
Putting some pain.
It could happen. It certainly could, but
it could happen. I mean, come on. It could happen.
Yeah, it could.
We've seen weirder things.
Yeah.
I put
positivity,
this.
Positivity, James.
That's
why we like
memory.
That's why we like sports.
Here's what I would tell you.
Like sports.
Your, Bob, it's more in our wheelhouse than these guys. The most unlikely opening day that turned into the greatest season of enjoyment that I ever had in baseball was 93. Because that team was not expected to be that team was expected to be maybe 500.
That team got no hit their last spring training game. Think about that.
Yeah.
1993, last game, they got no hit.
Game six of the World Series. And that is an incredible, incredible thing that season was supposed to start with. That season started with zero expectation.
They were in last place the year before, yeah.
And then all hell broke loose.
Yeah.
And it was one of the most incredible starts to a year ever. It was like monumental. Like first 40 games, I think they won like 28.
Yeah, it was crazy. Crazy start.
They went out to a crazy number. And I remember Mike Missanelli, I believe it was Mike Missanelli and Steve Fredericks, potentially at the time.
Could have been, yeah.
Doing a magic number in April. That was their gig. Like, and they did it as a joke. And then it's May. And it was June. And it was like, wait a minute, this is really going to happen. This is going to happen. This team would be much more. This team has much more than that team had.
Yeah, if you were going into a season and you weighed both teams, you're looking at 93, and this one, it wouldn't even be
comparable. This team is so much better than the 93
thing. Are any guys on the team this year coming back with some vitamins, some greenies?
They all did.
Yeah.
That was really.
Yeah, they got sent to the minors.
That's like the biggest farce of my childhood.
Dykstra put on 41 pounds in one off season.
It's funny. Yeah.
Something like that.
As a kid, I had no idea. And now you look back on it and you're just like, oh.
You really had no idea?
No, because it wasn't until McGuire Sosa where I started realizing something was up.
No, it's funny. Funny, the Major League Baseball writers had the same thing. They had the amnesia, too.
Yeah.
You know, all of them that are now virtue signaling.
Yeah, I was...
How appalled they are with the cheaters.
I was
12. They never knew.
So I didn't really know.
They never wrote about it. They never, said, you know what? We need to look into this. We need to have a...
It didn't become until McGuire and Sosa.
It's amazing. They didn't think any... They just thought these guys were working out hard.
I remember the great Ted Solari, who, covered high school sports for us.
Daily News,
yeah. But he was also a second Phillies guy for us. He would cover a lot of Phillies for us. So he went to opening day, he comes back to the office, and I said, you know, what'd you think? He goes, my God, did you see Lenny Dykstra? I said, yeah, did you? He goes, oh, yeah, I went over to his locker. He was sitting there, and I asked him how he got so big. He was popping pimples on his chest saying, great vitamins, dude.
Oh, my God, popping pimples.
That's where Ted Solari started, and it was great, a year-long hate of that 1993.
I would tell you that having to collect sound from that team, which back in the day meant you collected sound with a microphone and a Marantz. Do you know what a Marantz is? Bob probably knows what a Marantz is. You may have had. You may
I've
have
seen the
had
company
one.
Name.
A Marantz was a giant tape recorder.
Like a briefcase looking thing?
It was like square like this.
Yeah.
And it was heavy.
Yeah.
And it had a giant strap on it. Be over your shoulder, hooked to a microphone, and you went with a cassette tape and got sound of players talking. Then you went back to the station and you cut it up so it could get on the air. And it was, that's what you had. That 93 team, there was more Backney.
Oh, I bet.
In that room than you've ever seen at any local gym in your life.
Yeah, but there was no Proactive back in the day, so.
Oh, but you can't put Proactive on your back, can you?
Well,
you scrub your back with it? I thought that was for your face.
You got to understand. You know, the pores, they get clogged with those jerseys. I believe they were using wool at the time,
oh,
John.
Yeah,
I mean,
you think that's what
like
it was?
5 pounds. Yeah. And that heat coming off the turf from the vet. It
and, you
makes
know,
sense.
93, if I'm not mistaken, was the debut of the new jerseys, too.
Yes, it was. There's no question
when they
no
went to the new
it.
Uniforms, yep. too. That year, it was crazy. And I had 30-some games in the half-season ticket package with right over the left field wall, two sections over. So third section in. So there were two other sections to the foul pole. First row over the wall.
Nice.
And that was a great view. It was a great view, and little did we know we were going on the ride of our lives. That was an amazing year.
I was at opening day, and I was at game 6 when they beat Maddox to get to the World Series.
Unbelievable.
That was phenomenal.
Unbelievable.
That was fun.
So much fun.
Yeah.
You want to get in with a 610-632-0975. It's the Sixers and the Cavs tonight, right here on the Fanatic. In the linchpin, youth sometimes leads to success.
This is the linchpin.
Yeah, I was curious last night. The Flyers signed Savior, anointed one.
Don't
the greatest
that.
Defenseman to ever grace the ice. Cam York. I'm kidding because it irks John. But they did sign.
The fans were out in force last night.
Hey, it's fresh blood. That's all I'm concerned about.
Get him
about.
Up here. Get him up here. They need him. They need him. I'm like, okay, you're imbeciles. You never learn your lesson.
It had me thinking. They signed him to the 3-year contract, Cam York, out of the University of Michigan. Had me thinking, all right, which youth in town is going to be most important to their team's success? And I'm not talking about this year. I'm talking like kind of next 3 years. Let's put like a because Cam's not going to be here just yet. So let's project a little bit. Let's go 3 years. I have 4 guys, one from each team.
Oh,
and I'm curious where you guys go on this. So one for the Flyers, I have Cam York because they need defensive help in a bad way.
Carter Hart.
Carter Hart, no question.
Well, yeah.
Carter Hart's the guy.
Yeah, but he's not the one I put in my list.
I know, but I'm going to say Carter Hart should be on your list because Cam York can't stop the puck from getting in the net.
Number 2, Spencer Howard. Number 3, Shake Milton.
Wow.
And number 4, Jalen Reagor.
I like Matisse Thybul.
He's not on my list.
Would be on my list for the Sixers.
Are you asking us our list, or are you just giving us?
No, I'm giving you these 4 names, and which one of these 4 is most important to their team's overall success?
I thought you were asking us to give 4.
I don't like the premise of his list.
Yeah, I don't like. Wait,
but
give
if
me
your
the 4
list,
again. Cam York, Spencer Howard, Shake Milton, Jalen Reagor.
Spencer Howard,
most important to the future. I got to go Reagor, I guess.
Patrick?
I would go with Spencer Howard.
If Spencer Howard doesn't work
out. Who was yours, Gene? I think it's Spencer Howard.
If he doesn't work out.
Okay.
If he doesn't work out.
They got nothing.
It could set you back a year.
They got nothing as far as arms.
Yeah. Positivity.
Yeah, they need a top of the rotation guy.
He's going to be fun. Spencer Howard.
Spencer
That's why I didn't have him on my
guess
list.
Guess what, though? By the way, I actually because I'm never going to project what the injury situation, because I'm not a doctor and I don't know it. I'm sort of optimistic on him.
So am I.
If you're talking about being a middle of the rotation guy, I think he can be a top three starter.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to Ricky Bo today about him.
I want to hear about it.
Yeah.
Some conflicting...
Sure. And the reason I didn't put Carter Hart on this list is because if I put Carter Hart on here, he's the obvious answer.
See, yeah, I think right. This time next year, we could be talking about Carter Hart being totally fine.
Yeah.
And saying, what the hell was that about?
But, like, Shake Milton is about to be in a pretty massive role on this team that has NBA Finals aspirations. So that's why I put him in there. Jalen Reagor, obviously... You know, with the high draft capital he was taken with, has to produce.
And are we all leaning towards Reagor that we think this time next year when we're talking about it going, man, he really took a step up?
He's going to be a slot receiver, according to word in there, and I think that makes a lot of sense. It's funny they didn't draft Justin Jefferson because they thought he was a slot receiver. And
might be my bold prediction. Jalen Reagor is going to be a big surprise this
season.
There you
go. Let's hope that works. Hey, big news after 10 years tonight. You got to be watching NBC's Law & Order, Organized Crime. Stabler is coming home.
Nice.
And watch the lovely Kelly Giddish on Law & Order SVU in the crossover event. Stabler. Christopher Maloney returns tonight in Law & Order, Organized Crime, premiering after SVU in a Law & Order crossover event tonight on NBC. Good luck with that to the whole gang. Optimism on opening day. 610-632-0975. We're trying to find no intrusive thoughts today. It's a new term that I've heard about and learned about. No intrusive thoughts today. Everything's positive.
Never too old to learn, John.
See how long we can do it. By the way, the Fanatic 500 cash contest begins Monday. You're listening at 8:10, noon, 2, 4, 6, and 8 for your chance to win $500 fast. Thanks to Parks Casino Sportsbook app, the official sportsbook partner of the Real Philly Fan. You got to be 21. If you got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And be careful today, because it is April Fool's Day. So you got chumleys out there trying to trick you all day long. So be prepared. You never know what might happen. Coming up, your all-time Phillies lineup on this opening day. Bob's got a lot of rules. It's the John Kincaid Show. This is 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Opening day 2021, and positivity reigns. Well, it's raining outside too, but that's also going to have a positive way. Here, Karen Rogers said it's going to be by like 11 o'clock, it's over. No more rain.
Yeah, we're good to go. It's going to be sunny, 51. Good baseball day.
51. Bring it. 51. We don't have to be positive about the weather. 51's not a good baseball day.
Nah, it is for April 1st. What the hell?
Hey, download the Parks Casino Sportsbook app for the best in live in-game betting all tournament long. You got to be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Opening day, we have challenged ourselves to find every single positive angle we had, and it shouldn't be as hard when you're talking about a team that we're all pretty much saying, yeah, I think they're going to be a winning team. I think they're going to be a winning team. We all go on the, and we will do our envelopes a little bit later on in the show to put our win total in the envelope that we will check at the end of the season. One of the things that was, Jamie, you said in the first segment of the show today, though, I was a little surprised at, because it was totally different than I thought. I thought Real Muto was gone.
Oh, really? I mean,
I thought he was gone.
So my progression went like this. I was 90% certain he was going to be here for a while. And then I kind of dropped down to like 75, 70. And then there was a point where I dipped below 50. But I was like, it's still like a 40% chance. And then I kind of came back again. Once I saw once I saw the Mets sign a catcher and the Yankees make their
move. That statement is under review.
You were at 25%.
Did I get that low?
Oh, you got, yeah, you got real negative with it.
How low did you go?
I didn't get, but for the most part, I did have a
Jamie
dark.
Jamie was the most positive.
I did have a dark period where I was like, oh, we're about
dark,
to lose.
You get
but
that
for
25.
The most part, I thought he was going to be back.
The one thing that was interesting, though, in retrospect, if you just go back and review it all, is JT Realmuto, the Phillies bid against themselves. There was no market. There was no market for him. There was no bidding war. There was nobody they were bidding against. There was nobody throwing big money at him to say, please, please come here. Please take this deal. Come on, Phillies. Phillies bid against themselves. And it's something about that process that will always irk me.
Yeah.
That they bid against themselves. Now, I'm glad he's back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably got, they probably overpaid a little bit, but he probably got somewhat fair value.
Well, there was no other people at the table.
Yeah, but
there's
you also,
nobody else at the table.
You also don't want the guy like ticked off for the next 5 years that he got lowballed.
I just am surprised that when there is no
it's a weird situation.
When there's no market for anybody wanting to go, we'll give you 2 years.
Yeah.
We'll give you 2 years. And people were willing to talk about 2 years. And the Phillies said, no, we're going to give you five. We're going to give you five.
Well, because
better be.
They knew the public was ready to storm.
I'm not going
to
be negative. So
no, it's not negative. It's just you don't have to, did you not like going five?
I was fine with going five. I didn't like the risk of let's lowball him for the sake of, oh, nobody's at the, because somebody would have jumped in and if you're pissing him
at
off.
At 2 years.
Somebody would have hopped in.
Going in. That's what I don't get. Is somebody,
so you had a problem more with the 5 years
well,
than
I
the
do,
money.
Because when nobody's, you're bidding against yourself, why are you going to 5 years?
Because he's the
it's
best
absurd.
Catcher in baseball.
But does it not tell you, though, that there are smart organizations in baseball and they're all going, we'll give you two?
No, because he can play first base. He has played first base. Like you guys talked about Bohm going to first base. Probably your future first baseman, if Reese Hoskins doesn't work out, is Realmuto.
What do you think, Bob?
I don't mind the contract at all. Like, overall, I hear what you're saying, who was bidding against
well,
him or whatever. $20 million, 22, it probably averages out to a little bit over 5 years for the best catcher in baseball. I'm okay with it. I am. I have no problem with it. I wanted him back here. I don't mind giving him the security of a 5 years. He's a young 29 to me. You know, wanting to play every day the way he did last year. And what Pat said, he's also versatile enough that, yeah, you could throw him at first. He's a great athlete. You could throw him at first base if something happens with Reese Hoskins and you want to keep grooming Alec Bohm at third base. So I have no problem at all with the contract.
Here's Bob, though, getting right to the next point I wanted to make on this. I want Joe Girardi to resist the urge to let JT Realmuto come in every day and say, I want to play. I want to play. I want to play. Joe Girardi's got to be the leader and say, no. That doesn't suit our purposes for you to go out there and play 135 games at catcher.
I struggle with this, and I hear what you're saying.
Because I want the, if you got him for 5 years, I don't want to burn him out in three.
No, I hear you on that.
By running him into the ground, and it's not a smart strategy to have him catch that many games.
So, but I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
The case last year, though, I think was he had him out of the lineup, and he said, no, I want to be in, and he put him at first base, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah,
what,
right.
So what, a short little jaunt at first base, though.
Yeah, but
didn't he have an ankle, like a weird ankle for a little bit there?
Yeah.
And he played a couple games at first.
Yeah.
It was like three games, or am I
mistaken? Yeah,
it
wasn't a ton.
I don't remember
it being a big thing.
Yeah. I hear you on
this. What I'm saying is,
I don't hate when a player comes in, especially one that's a leader of the team, and says, nah, Skip, I'm all right. Please don't take me out of the lineup today.
So what's the number in your head, just out of curiosity?
Him catching?
Of 162, how many would you think he should play?
At this, I want 130. 125 to 130.
Okay.
That's a good number.
So the most consistent catcher in terms of playing in my head was Yadier Molina. I feel like that guy's just a tank.
Freak show.
Yeah. So I went back and looked. His games are pretty much
140?
He gets as high as 147 is his peak. He's got a lot of 138, 139s, 140.
I don't want anything over 130.
I think that's fair.
Because
135
is a good number.
135 to me.
I want him to, it's still just.
He's
I'm
a freak.
I know, but the thing is, everybody's got a shelf life.
Yeah.
And even if you're a freak, you have a certain amount of wear on the tire. And
Molina's done it over a decade. He's a tank.
Yeah, well, the whole family.
And he is the absolute anomaly.
Yeah,
he is the absolute
I'll look at
outlier,
some others and
complete
see.
Complete outlier.
Well, I think after today, you're probably going to see Andrew Knapp as the catcher for Nola, because historically he's been his catcher. So,
do you like that, by the way?
He's got success with them. Like, Andrew Knapp isn't good.
Well, he's
but
not
he
bad.
Improved. He
Andrew,
improved.
Last year,
last year he wasn't bad. For a backup catcher.
He was taking
over
Cody Bellinger.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I know you can do that with
him. You went negative.
That was a fact. I'm just presenting
negative.
A fact.
No, you did it.
That was a fact.
Sarcastic negative matter.
That's a fact.
That was a sarcastic negative matter.
You owe $250. Do you take Venmo?
I just want to see Joe Girardi manage this club. I want to see Joe Girardi manage this club. I don't want to see a spreadsheet manage this club. And I don't want a player coming into the locker room and saying, I want to play every day. And the manager just saying, okay, you get to play every day. I want the boss to be in charge.
Yeah, the extreme is a player saying, I want to play every day. If it's a situational thing where he comes in and he sees his name not on the card, and he says, yo, Joe, nah, we need this game. I need to be in there today.
I don't hate that. As a competitor,
It can't happen 15 times a season. But situationally, if JT Realmuto does that, Bryce Harper does it, I'm okay.
I might be good with 140. I'm looking at Buster Posey now. He did a decade of 140 plus, like, pretty consistently. Like, JT's that good.
But wait a minute.
Yeah, but he played first base.
And he played first base,
but then
on
to the later.
But also, he also was doing that at, wasn't he doing that at 21, 22, 23?
He was drafted at a college, so I think he came in at like 23.
He came at 20. Okay, 23.
But JT's that good. Like,
I know, but he had Buster Posey already had 8 years of that. I believe 7 or 8 years of that.
I just don't think 140 is going to kill you. I don't.
I'm just thinking long term, dude. I'm thinking long term for this because you signed him long term.
He's that good.
So Nola starts 35 games.
There it is.
All right, so there's 34 out right off the bat because he's going to start opening day with him. So 34, 162.
That's good.
30,
that's fine. I'm fine with that.
Okay, so he catches every
and a couple more here and there.
I'd be fine with that.
And it'd maybe throw him at first base in a game that Nola's pitching because you want your best pitcher to get some hits.
I like that. It's like Greg Maddux not having Javi Lopez ever catch for him.
Yeah.
Javi was always on my fantasy baseball team.
He was on my wife's fantasy team.
Maybe he still is.
Every single play, we lived very close to Javi, and whenever Javi walks into any establishment, the women in the place all go.
Swoon? Bras are off?
They still do. Okay. And she was on his fantasy team.
Is it bras are off?
Attention, Cherry Hill. Breathe new life into your home's central air for just $49 with Cardwell's No Breakdown Tune-Up Special. That's Cardwell Heating and Air Conditioning, voted South Jersey's number one heating and air contractor. Search Cardwell HVAC. It's opening day for your Philadelphia Phillies, and Bob Cooney's got a lot of rules.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's corner.
Whether we follow Bob's rules will be debated.
Opening day is just...
It's fun.
It is the best.
It's great to start.
So you go back and you think of, man, I remember going to a game and such and such. Greg Jeffries was in left field, or, you know, Tommy Hutton was playing first base. There you go, John. You like
Tommy
that
Hutton, yes.
So I ask you guys...
Didn't he catch also?
No. First baseman, no.
Hutton was just first?
Yeah.
Marlins broadcaster, I believe.
Yes, I think you are correct on that. Exactly. So what I ask you guys today is to give me your all-time Phillies lineup. So you go back to opening day lineups from yesteryears. I need your batting order and your starting pitching.
This is so hard.
Are we going back to 1896?
No, modern era.
Okay.
No, modern era. So I'll go, let's say, 1980 on.
Well, then I lost one of my guys.
I know you probably lost your center fielder.
Well, there goes
Zed
Delahanty.
I lost my center fielder and I lost my starting pitcher.
Well, it's funny because Shane Victorino was better.
All right.
No,
so
he was not.
Stop. Ooh. Why are you doing it now?
Stop.
Yeah, that's one of the most asinine.
Go check out their wars.
Now I will... it's wars.
Spreadsheets.
Spreadsheets.
How are we doing this now? Do you have yours or do you want me to get mine?
I have mine. Yeah, go with yours. No, sure.
So I got to drop Jimmy Fox is what you're telling me.
I want to hear yours, Bob.
All right. My leading off at shortstop is Jimmy Rollins.
Okay.
Batting second in right field, Bryce Harper. Batting third baseman, Mike Schmidt. Batting fourth, first baseman, Ryan Howard. Batting fifth, second baseman Chase Utley. Batting sixth, left fielder Greg Luzinski. Batting seventh, catcher JT Realmuto. Batting eighth, your Secretary of Defense, Gary Maddox in center field, and your starting pitcher, Steve Lefty Carlton.
Wow. Okay, so I can use Carlton.
Yes, 1980s okay. on.
Yeah, yeah, I have him also.
Okay, I'll do that. All right. I'm going to go, your leadoff is going to be your shortstop, and Pat Egan will get a little aroused. It is Jimmy Rollins. Your right fielder bats second. That is Bryce Harper.
Okay.
Your second baseman bats third. That is Chase Utley.
All right.
Your third baseman bats cleanup, and that is Mike Schmidt.
Mm-hmm.
Your first baseman bats fifth. That is Ryan Howard. In left field, and I don't care what Bob's rules are, I'm putting Lenny Dykstra. In right field, I can have an outfielder. He's versatile enough. He plays. If you play center, you can play left or right.
And, you can dive into a dumpster for your fake teeth with Chuckles the Clown. You can play left field.
And in right field, I'm putting Shane Victorino.
Okay.
And I am going to have JT Realmuto as my catcher and Steve Carlton as my starting pitcher. Jamie?
All right, so I have one that's going to be heavily debated by Bob here. I have Jimmy Rollins leading off, playing left field, the hit king. No, nobody had Pete Rose?
No, because Pete Rose at that point, his career, when he was a Philly, never could play outfield.
He was 38 years old when he signed with the Phillies. But you're contradicting yourself because you're putting people in positions they never played.
No,
so he can call him the hit king.
Bob, there is no center fielder in Major League Baseball who could not shift to left or right.
I will sacrifice the defense gladly to get that bat second in my order.
Yeah, he would. Now, he's going to complain about not batting leadoff.
No, that's fine.
So you're going to have a locker room. It's all right.
I want Jimmy's speed. I know he is fast, but Jimmy, I want Jimmy first. Three, I got my favorite player of all time, Mike Schmidt. Number four, the big piece, Ryan Howard. Number five, I don't give a damn about righty, lefty, righty, Bryce Harper. Number six, Chase Utley. Number seven, JT Realmuto. And number eight, Shane Victorino. With number nine, Steve Carlton.
Okay. Patty?
Okay.
We have a lot of the same names.
Yeah, yes, because it's not very deep.
But that's
pool.
Fine, though.
Isn't it?
This is a franchise that's been around since 1883.
Yeah, and it's not that deep.
Yeah, right. The first season ticket holders were Civil War vets.
1883.
Well, and because, I mean, I would have had Ed Delahanty, but you guys took him from me.
Exactly.
Leading off, Jimmy Rollins.
Yes.
Future Hall of Famer. Batting second.
He's
yes,
I think
he is. Batting second.
He's close.
Lenny Dykstra in center field.
Wow.
Batting third. At second base, Chase Utley. Batting fourth, the big piece, Ryan Howard at first base. Mike Schmidt bat sixth. Fifth. I'm sorry. Look.
Wow, Schmidt's fifth?
I didn't get a temple, so give me a break. Who is a better power hitter, Howard or Schmidt?
Schmidt.
Okay, that's debatable.
Really?
I just debated it. And
really?
Schmidt's fifth. And he's batting, he's at third base. Harper's in right field, batting sixth. Realmuto is seventh at catcher.
Mm-hmm.
Eighth is Luzinski.
Greg Luzinski.
Yeah,
hey, man.
And at pitcher, Doc Holliday.
Wow, okay. Holliday, you mean?
Schmidt's the better home runner.
Mike Schmidt is, there's a little plaque that ends our discussion about Ryan Howard and Mike Schmidt as a power hitter. There's a little plaque, and you can find it.
I didn't say home run.
You can find it in Cooperstown.
Okay, yeah, cool.
It is.
So Howard got injured.
There's one that will be in Cooperstown.
And if Howard didn't get injured, he might be in Cooperstown.
And if your aunt had, she'd be your uncle.
Not in college.
She'd be your uncle. Bobby, is you expected it to go?
Pretty much.
Luzinski's the name I did not expect to hear.
I had Luzinski because Pat and I went real position that they played here. Not that I'm saying it's right, but position that they played here is the way that I went with it. What was so surprising to me, and I don't know if you guys felt this too, and I think you did, the way you jockeyed things around. God, the outfield position for the Phillies has been horrendous since the 80s.
It sucks.
In the history, it has been terrible.
Greg Luzinski is the only home, outside Dominic Brown, who was a flash in the pan, the only homegrown outfield all-star. Do you know how hard that is to do?
Wait, you have
five guys.
Only homegrown, correct.
Yeah, yes. You have five guys you have a shot with every year.
There's going to be a guy that none of us put on the list that I strongly considered. Bobby Abreu.
I considered him. I did, too. I did too, but like I said, I went for natural position.
Bobby Abreu.
So I went Harper over Abreu.
Oh, Harper over Abreu, right.
Yeah, but I did. Abreu was right there.
I mean, to me, Bobby Abreu is the guy to not end up on any one of our list because, you know, and look, Harper's got to be on ahead.
If I was forced to drop Pete Rose, I would probably shift Bryce to left and put Bobby in right.
Because Bobby Abreu may be underappreciated.
Yeah, totally.
First outfield off the bench for all of our lists, I would say.
Yes.
Most absolutely. Likely.
He's
yeah.
the one. He's the one that I'm most offended not to hear. And I didn't put him on my list, so I should be offended with myself.
Yeah.
You know, it's the way it goes.
That's a fun exercise, though. But
I like that. It's an opening day exercise. You want to join in, 610-632-0975. Everybody's streaming this morning. We see you out there streaming on your app. We absolutely appreciate that. Those on Twitch.tv and YouTube, we thank you for jumping on in, too. And today, Rally House.
Oh, yeah.
Rally House. Come see Jamie without any baseball gear on at Rally
House. At 124 Commerce Boulevard in Oxford Valley. That's my old hometown mall.
Or Oxford Valley.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to make it kind of jive.
I know what Jamie's doing, bub.
I'm excited.
He's rolling into Rally House today from 2 to 4.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Jamie purposely did not wear Phillies gear today because he has a hundy in his pocket. He's buying a hundy worth of Phillies gear, getting something for his daughter, something for himself.
I got to get her a new Phillies cap. So before she was born, I went down to the Majestic store at the stadium and I got her her first Phillies cap. Now I'm going to Rally House today. She's kind of outgrown it a little bit. So I'm going to get her her new Phillies hat because she goes, when she sees me leave the house, she points at my head and goes, hat.
Do you get your bride something?
She's probably got better Phillies gear than I do. I think I'm going to be
So she's got some?
I might be in the market for a Phillies golf shirt today.
Okay.
Phillies golf shirt and a Skyler hat.
I'd suggest you get something for your wife, too.
Yeah, she's all right. She's got me, John.
Put more than a hundy in there.
Man,
now.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. But yeah, come check it out. Yeah, Oxford Valley Mall League Day. Yeah, that's my old hometown stopping mall. So looking forward to being back there. Come check it out.
2 to 4 this afternoon.
And if you show up in Phillies gear while supplies last, I'll be handing out some store credits.
Oh, wow.
A little discount for you if you show up in Phillies gear. So come on out.
Don't show up like Jamie showed up to work today in no Phillies gear today. So
we just got a tweet. Is Jason Worth get consideration?
Oh, he was considered on mine.
He was considered right field.
He was considered on mine.
Yeah.
Guess what? He was every bit as productive as Bryce Harper's been.
Jason Worth was tremendous here.
He's actually he was more productive than Bryce Harper.
He was awesome.
I got a Jim Thome left off the list. Can't you throw him in the outfield? Somebody said
you cannot. You could never throw Jim Thome in the outfield.
I
would say, and it's, gosh, it's, and I'm not trying to anything, no shade on Jim Thome. That, to me, was the most over-talked, over-hyped about thing that I ever heard in my life, as far as Philly's history.
What do you mean?
That Jim Thome came here. Well, Jim Thome came.
It was pretty monumental at the time.
But people are like, that's what made the Phillies run that was what did the homegrown talent is what did it, is what brought us that 5-year run. It had nothing to do with Jim Thome.
But they were coming out of such a dark period and you needed butts in the seats at the new stadium, yada yada. He was awesome.
No, I mean he is awesome, but
he kind of signified like the turning of the page.
It was a feeling here, and I'm not doing
right,
that.
I
you
gotcha.
Weren't here, I'm not doing that. There was this feeling here, like, oh my God, a legitimate star is saying they want to come to Philadelphia. Even though we were homegrown after that, you're right.
See, that's what
there
signified.
Was a turning. It was a turning of the feeling. It really, and Citizens Bank Park was just opening, it was just a turning point.
And looking back on it now, it's kind of like it was like the first chapter of the new era of Phillies baseball.
The signified turning of the page to me, though, was the excitement of watching those young homegrown players. Because, look, the Phillies had a run in they led to a championship in the 80s and quite a few bites at the apple in that period of time that they didn't cash in. And that was actually a longer window than the one in the 2000s. They had a longer window. That went from 76 to 83.
Yeah.
And to me, it was all that young homegrown talent. And that's when I get excited about a team. Like if the Eagles go 3-13 this year and I see young talent on the field, I will absolutely enjoy every Sunday.
Yeah,
I will enjoy
if Davion Taylor's going sideline to sideline.
Talent getting
and
better.
If,
yeah,
and if you get two or three guys in this draft that I see are players.
Yeah,
I will absolutely every Sunday night I'll put my head in the pillow and be totally fine with it.
Yeah,
absolutely
I'm there with
fine
you.
With it. Pat,
absolutely,
you don't seem like you would agree with that.
No, I'm fine with it. I have no faith in it. But we're not supposed to be negative.
No, you can be negative on the Eagles all year.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I have no faith that there'll be young talent on this roster. None.
There'll be young players. Talent.
There'll be young players.
Yes.
I'm looking for
talent. No.
I'm going to choose to believe that that this one is a little more idiot proof. This year is a little more idiot proof than other years.
All right.
So I'm hoping, because this is a nice draft. This is a nice draft.
Here's hoping.
This is a nice. Yeah. This is a nice 3-round draft.
Well, the second round last year was a nice second round.
I got you. It was, and it really was, and
that
they
was
blew
an
it.
Idiot-proof
and they
spot.
And they blew it. But it is a nice. This is a nice three. The first two nights of the draft, you're talking about players that I'm going to know 85% of the names that come off the board. Yep. I was looking at a mock draft yesterday, and for a three round mock by Kuipers. I forget
Lynch.
It was. It was Daniel Jeremiah. Daniel Jeremiah's. And I said, I know 85% of these names because people are shopping in the right aisle. They're going to SEC football.
That's what you got
to
do.
And going to the best places. They're finally figuring it out.
I got one more player, John, on my Phillies.
Yes.
Relief pitcher. My relief pitcher is Ricky Bitalico. Just saying.
I want to get Ricky's lineup.
Well, Ricky will be here. He can give
right.
us some of that.
Yeah, yeah. I like that.
Yeah, you want to give Ricky homework the night before, though, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, you don't want to.
Before the beer start flowing.
He was probably doing it in the Ricky Bitalico strikes me as doing his homework in the lunchroom. He was doing his homework in the lunchroom, well, guy, yeah. before class.
Yeah, right. I think that's
By
accurate.
The way, all right, coming up. What makes me joyful? You know, joyous is my favorite word in the language. What makes me joyful? We'll get to it next. Opening day with the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. There is a simple reason that Natural Lawn of America has been a successful, locally owned company for 30 years. Why? Because they give you the results and the peace of mind that you're going to have a safer, greener, weed-free lawn. And that's why I choose Natural Lawn of America. And Natural Lawn of America will be taking care of our home. Mike and Anthony told me you have to go with them, John, because they're going to give you the greener, weed-free lawn using their exclusive organic-based lawn care products. Natural Lawn has reduced chemical pesticide use by 85%. Safer for the whole family. So when Nikki Foles is running around the backyard, I know she's going to be safe. I trust Natural Lawn. Just all the reviews are amazing. But this deal is what really hooked me in. Limited time special. Natural Lawn's full service program. You get free seeding every year. That's free seeding every year. Call 800-FREE-SEED. Do it today. Buy their full service program. Get free seeding every year. 800-FREE-SEED. Lawn care company that I've chosen is Natural Lawn of America. Why? Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
A great week for the clock. John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic, our 7 o'clock hour. Brought to you by my sportsbook app of choice, the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. You can download it at parxcasino.com/PA and use the promo code Fanatic. And before we get started this hour, I want to make sure that Bobby in the Lehigh Valley gets in with us here on The Fanatic. Bobby, good morning on opening day.
Good morning and happy opening day. Greatest day of the year.
Okay, what are you most optimistic about?
I think if everybody stays healthy, I think the Phil's got a good shot this year. I'm definitely going over on, 82.5?
I got it at 80.5. I got it the first time it came out at 80.5. Now, then it went to 81.5. I think it's 81.5.
I'm going over either way.
You say, well, you better get on it. Get on it now before you just gave that advice, Bobby. Now everybody knows. There's one thing I want you to change in your vernacular, though. What's you said, that? I think. Say, I believe.
Oh, I believe.
Change that. Because there's, I think means you're sort of guessing. I believe they're going to be healthy and things are going to work out. If this team is healthy, what's like a high number for you, Bobby? Wins.
90.
A big 9. I look, I've seen crazier things. I've seen crazier things, and thank you, Bob. And if you have more optimism to share with us, you can today at 610-632-0975. I got it at 80.5.
I have 80.5, but you have to lay -143 to get it on DraftKings.
I had 80.5 at -113.
Oh,
when I
had 81.5 last night.
And 81.5 became...
I like them all.
So
you got to lay a little juice with...
All right, so he put a big number out there, John. He put 90. Which we all think is...
That's rich for my blood.
That's best case scenario.
Okay, for them to get...
The second wild card?
All right, for them to get 88, what has to happen? Somebody's got to post something big for them to get 88. You're not going to get a normal season out of everybody and 88 comes about.
I said to you yesterday, the number that has to happen. If you're telling me this team's a playoff team, Wheeler and Nola is plus... Oh, you're betting the over 30.5 wins. It's the only way the math works.
Yeah.
It's the only way it works.
And Eflin would have to get you probably 12 or 13 wins.
Or an acquisition.
Yeah.
Dave Dombrowski, remember.
That's what's going to be fun about this season. Is they're going to be good enough to be buyers.
He's slick.
Yeah.
He's slick. He knows what he's doing.
And I think Reese is the key to the offense. I really do.
Well, as we get started here, Jeff Francoeur will preview it with us, former Philly, former Brave, Braves broadcaster Jeff Francoeur previews the baseball season with us coming up at 7:40. Today, we all won't be attending opening day together as a show.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
But in 2020, you're at Rally House.
Yeah.
Rally House. In 2022, I want to fix that, though. I would like to that we would all be there
Deal.
On opening day.
In blood, let's go.
But for now, I just think of going back into the ballpark. And it's an obsession for me. I love going to a baseball game. It's a source of great joy. And for me, relaxation. It is a great disconnect for me. When I go to the beach, I'm great at disconnecting. I leave my phone on the nightstand in the condo. I do not have any electronics with me. I just disconnect and enjoy the day. Everyone has their own game day routine. And out there in the audience, we want to engage you too at 610-632-0975. When attending a game, we all have preferences. None of us have gone to a game. Well, you guys have, but like as a group. Where do you like to sit? Day games or night games? Do you eat and drink during the game when you get to your seat? Do you walk around while action's going on? What annoys you of the guys that are in front or in back in the stands? So before we all do attend a game together, I just got to need, you all have very nuanced rules about everything and you don't believe it, but you all have these little things that your list is. I want to know what the list is so we understand our own desires and we can also help others to be better fans.
You know what?
Fans.
You just made the list.
Yep. So we can help others be better fans. And that's where we begin the 7 o'clock hour with Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan, in absentia, the coach, Eric Camille. We've got DJ Mike here. Even Dylan's hanging out, too, this morning. And Connor answering your calls. And Connor is trying to get to opening day.
Yeah.
We'll see if that happens.
Hello.
He needs a date because you can't get just one ticket.
He does need a date.
Good-looking Connor, you know, 25 years, 6 years old, whatever he is.
He should be able to get a date.
He can hit a golf ball pretty good, goes to the gym a lot.
So here's what I'd suggest. If you are a female and you want to go to the game with Connor today, I think this can be arranged.
I think it can be.
I think it can be arranged. But I want to...
Good kid.
But I want to review the choice.
Okay, yeah.
I want to review the choice.
Sure.
I don't want it to be some just schleppy off there.
Well, you have to practice your parenting, so you can practice today, because
yes.
Olivia is coming in this week,
yes,
and you're
going to
be a full-time parent for about 4 days, so you need some practice. So I think finding a suitable mate... For this game, Connor would be good practice.
So,
if there
is a female that wants to be evaluated, for Connor, we could also work that out there today here on the John Kincaid Show. But what are rules? I got a couple, and I'll just throw it out there just to get the conversation started. Watch the game. Put your freaking phone down.
Well,
don't be hang.
I watch games on Twitter. It's
no, you're at the game.
But especially
at the game.
But especially it's 4 hours. It's 4 hours.
You're at the game. You're sitting at the game.
Eh.
Then you're going to sit a seat at least a couple seats away.
That seems fine.
In the phone, the guys at the game. You are sitting there. You're at a baseball game.
It's 4 hours,
and you're sitting there on your damn phone the whole time on the phone. Put your freaking phone away. Bob, that's my first forehand of the match.
No, we're not going to get along.
You can look at your phone between innings.
Yes, that's fine.
Yeah, but no.
Put it away. Watch the freaking game. Be engaged with what's going on.
Between innings is good enough. There's literal just nonstop downtime.
Nobody's that important.
Well, you're addicted. I mean, you're nobody's addicted. More you addicted, addicted to phone than you.
Electronics like anyone I've ever seen. In all the people I've worked with in media, I've never worked with anyone in media that's more addicted
to
it.
So annoying.
You cannot get your head out of your phone.
Out of your ass either.
You have your head in your phone 24/7.
It's not your phone, it's
in
your ass.
It's not 24/7.
Yes, it is.
No.
Every single post-show meeting, your head's in your phone. You get off the air after
you talk
to Anthony, and then you're going through, and you are listening, and you're on your phone. You're hitting on your phone. You're addicted. So, but it's a baseball game. Cut your mind free. Bob, do you have one on yours that when you're going to a game, like a rule that? Because I want to know these rules too.
A rule. Drinking is allowed during the game.
Love that rule.
No, we'll get along at the stadium.
Are you an eater?
And before the game,
are you an eater at your seat?
Not usually. Maybe I might get some peanuts to go with the beer. Yeah.
I'm not an eater at the seat. Pat, are you an eater?
Yeah.
At the seat.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no problem.
The game's going on. I see Pat going with the plate of nachos.
No.
Pat, you're not?
No.
Like, I'm thinking Pat's the guy who gets the loaded nacho plate or goes to, you know, the barbecue joint.
I do like the barbecue.
Yeah.
And that's the best part about CBP. Their food options are incredible.
You get the Schmitter?
Well, they don't have it anymore.
No, they don't have it.
Did you get the Schmitter?
Look, when I was going to like 38, 40 games a year, I was in college, so I couldn't afford a Schmitter.
Okay.
So I was going to the kids section of they have a little kids stand, and I was getting the $2 hot dog.
Pat, what would your rule be? Like, because I want to make sure your enjoyment isn't.
I don't have any problem with eating. Well, my whole thing is like, get your food and get back to your seat so you can watch the game. My big pet peeve is fan etiquette, meaning do not get up until the inning is over to go to the bathroom. It drives me nuts.
You're on my.
You can wait until the end of the inning, or the people,
You can go in between pitches.
Because it's always some. It's always some jagaloon who's in the middle of
a
row and who stops three seats down and goes, "Does anybody want anything?"
By the way, the guy who gets up, the jack wagon who does that during the middle of the inning.
I like that jack wagon.
You've never had that one. A jack wagon. That's one of my favorites. Good. The jack wagon that gets up and does that during an inning, I guarantee you does it three times.
And he's usually dressed like Jamie is today. Like,
I'm not
going
to hold my pee because you guys have some weird rule. I can go in between batters and not interfere with the play.
But you're interfering with everybody else's enjoyment.
Well, tough. That's part of being in the stadium.
And
I got to pee.
If you saw the Phillies play last year and their bullpen had like 45-minute innings, sometimes you got to go when you got to go.
I need a beer.
I will bet to you, though, the jack wagon that gets everybody up in the row during the middle of an inning will do it three times during the game.
It's really not that hard to hold it.
It's like the passion play. Before the cock crows
because
three times.
Because there's a game going on.
It's three times. Jamie, you obviously like want to get up and down.
I mean, live your life. You're at a baseball game.
Sit on your phone.
Do what you want to do.
What else do you want to do? Is there anything else?
I don't like walking that much. My wife and friends usually like doing the lap. I'm kind of like, I've seen it enough. I'll do one if we get there early enough. I like to be in my seat for six innings.
If I get there early, I may even walk it twice.
I like the walk.
I love walking around with a beer.
I just want to get to my seat.
During the game, I have this. During the game, it depends.
I do not walk during the game.
If the Phillies are up, say 8-2, something like that, and one of the kids, like Donna says, let's go take a walk and get something. Okay,
I don't do it during the game.
Yeah, I don't like it in the game.
Yeah,
I don't like it during the game.
Before the game, absolutely. I love hanging out on Ashburn Alley. Love it.
And they added like the kind of picnic tables in the standing room area because I'm a big standing room guy. I normally don't, kind of get in.
Big tree.
But they added like new seating and like bar seats and stuff. The standing room area is great. So if I do walk, you gotta make pit stops off and watch because you're not watching.
Yeah. One of my former coworkers watching on YouTube. Hello. Albuquerque says that Bob will be immensely happy.
This person doesn't even know you. Yeah, okay.
He goes, when you go to a game with John, he goes, because John talks considerably less than you ever hear him talk.
I thought Egan's thing when you said, do you have rules? He was going to say, yeah, not to sit near John.
He goes, they will enjoy that you watch intently, that you don't. There's not a.
Can we break out a game here?
So like you may want that.
Connor, grab your mitt.
That could be a positive.
So is it like for you, like the poker table?
No, but it's weird. I don't know. The thing is, I never have said that as one of the places where I don't. He goes, your new coworkers will enjoy. Oh. He said, Bob will be especially happy.
How about that?
Watch. He goes, because John talks considerably less at sporting events. He said, to the point that you are almost quiet.
Huh. I can see our future. John's like, hey, guys, want to go out to dinner Tuesday? And all of us, no, let's go to a game.
Let's go to a game. You're almost quiet.
They have food at the stadium. We can get a game.
You're almost quiet.
Well, we just got a tweet from Provolone Joe. I'm curious where you lie on this one. No Eagles chance at the Phillies game.
I think it's so stupid.
Hate it.
I agree.
I think it's so stupid.
Totally agree.
Oh, and no.
Especially now because they suck.
And honestly, seriously, don't do the freaking wave.
The wave.
You just took it right out of my mouth.
Terrible. Stupid wave.
I hate it.
I couldn't hate it anymore.
It's telling everybody I'm so bored. I'd rather mimic the ocean than watch a game.
Is the guy still there? The annoying Sunday afternoon guy?
No. The one that says
everybody hits woo woo.
That guy. No, you found that guy annoying?
Everybody hits woo woo woo.
Oh, I love that guy.
He hasn't been around for.
He hasn't been around for a while.
Yeah. I had seats at one time.
Where, I enjoyed
and
it.
And I had a weekend.
I loved it.
And I had a Sunday plan.
That thing sucked.
But he wouldn't stop.
Oh, if I was around him, I'd find it annoying.
That's what I'm saying.
On the TV broadcast.
He's still there because I honestly would pick seats that were as far away as possible from that.
But see, for me, when I hear somebody at the game say, everybody hits, I know that they're actually a fan. And during the run, during that stretch run where everybody was a quote-unquote Phillies fan, there's a lot of people where you would say, everybody hits, and nobody would
say
woo-hoo.
Where'd they all go, by the way? Where'd they all go? The ghost town that was Citizens Bank Park.
They're at the Sixers game.
Ghost town.
Yeah, they're at the Sixers games.
Ghost town.
Jimmy Rollins is right.
And Philly fans many times, Philly fans, the Philadelphia fan, many, many times likes to point out, like, look, our fans, we're the real fans. And I'm like, Citizens Bank Park's a ghost town. Has been a ghost town. I mean, it's like there's no. Don't act like it's like we're not front running too.
Last year, nobody was there. I mean, it was pathetic.
Complete front running.
Jane, that was a good joke.
Every fan is though.
Yeah, but I'm saying. Yeah, but don't I hear it
from normal?
Like,
yeah.
You live down in Albuquerque, man. Front running fans are like, more fans at Albuquerque games.
I think that there are bandwagon hopping in every single city.
Absolutely,
obviously,
but
yeah, it's financially related. A lot of
has
it.
More. Passionate fans than other cities. So meaning
I
like,
would agree with that.
Like the Fandemic crew going out there and
that
watching
awesome.
Every game with
by
that
the way,
bullpen,
by the
credit
way, will,
to them.
So will the Fandemic crew disbanded?
No. They should get free season tickets this year.
That's what I absolutely would believe. I guarantee you smart guys like John Brazier out there.
I'm sure they
have got something
taken care
in,
of.
The mix. Because that was a story across Major League Baseball.
I think I did hear something that they were going to get hooked up with tickets when fans were back because they deserve it.
Jeff Francoeur joins us at 7:40 to preview not only this Braves-Phillies series today, but also the Phillies in the National League East and how they stack up. And I think Jeff may actually have a uplifting story for you if you're a Phillies fan.
Huh.
I think you're going to...
Really?
His thoughts, yes. I think his thoughts
and,
are...
And by the way, for the record, the sausage, pepper, and onions with a little mustard, that's the crown jewel.
I've never done mustard on the hot sausage.
Oh. I've never done mustard, yeah.
I love the... No, that sounds like a
that
great...
That smell?
I love it.
When you walk in and you smell the sausage,
but
pepper, and onions.
I've never put mustard on that.
Oh, yeah. Let's party.
Brown or yellow? See, I don't do yellow mustard.
Yellow. Yeah, yellow.
I don't do yellow mustard.
Yellow.
I like the golden spicy.
One of my favorite things to do at a game also is to watch Jamie eat. No one enjoys food as much as this dude over here.
Hey,
talking about enjoys it, life as much as that dude right there.
Hey, America, it's Ford Truck Month. Now's the time to get a great deal on Ford Ranger, Ford Super Duty, and the all-new, completely redesigned 2021 Ford F-150. Tougher and smarter than ever. If anything annoys you at the game and you want to give the other fans a little heads up, we're getting ready to start another season. You can share it with us at 610-632-0975. In the linchpin, who is the king of the suburbs? Well, it's Jamie Lynch.
This is the linchpin.
Yeah, I need some help here. So okay. I've been a city guy for probably the last 11 years of my life, which is about how old my dog Bootsy is. So we're now suburban people. And
you were a Fugazi city person.
I wasn't born and raised in the city.
You're a suburban person that went to the city and...
Well, I mean, whatever. I paid city taxes for over a decade.
No, but you weren't a city guy.
No, but I never claimed to be.
Right, I'm saying.
Yeah, I lived in the city for 11 years.
You lived in the city.
Correct. Bootsy walked on concrete. Now she's got a little bit of an allergy issue out in the suburbs. She's not used to the shock to the system.
Come on, Boots.
But I find myself curious about how to handle this because 7 out of 10 times, I'm usually just taking her out in the backyard and she'll pee and poop there. It's my own grass. I don't mind.
Yes.
The other times when I take her on a long walk, there's no common park area where we can make it to without her peeing and pooping.
Okay.
So a lot of times she veers off the sidewalk and ends up peeing and pooping in neighbors' front yards.
Do you pick it up?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Then that's fine.
Is it?
Yes.
If you looked out your front window and saw a random dog peeing on your grass,
are you picking it up?
I can't pick up pee.
No,
and
you're
it does kill
up the poop.
Oh, absolutely. Every time. I actually was left without trash bags the other day, so I went home, got it bagged, came back and got it.
Absolutely. You're a good neighbor.
Is this okay?
It's grass. That's what
I know, but
animals
how,
do. Wait, they pee and poop on grass.
She's close to 70 pounds. She takes some big dumps.
So Bootsy pees, though. A Bootsy pee is a little more than like a Nikki Foles.
Yes, absolutely.
As far as potentially discoloring the lawn. But guess what? Guess what? You're a good neighbor.
Okay.
You pick up poop. There's nothing that says the dog can't pee on somebody's lawn. That's ridiculous.
Because if I looked outside and saw a random dog doing it on my yard, I'd be like, well, I'm a dog person. I don't care.
But not poop. Like, pick as long as they're
But I don't know if everybody is that.
I don't care. Coach? If somebody wants to come out and say something to me about a dog peeing outside on their grass, I welcome it.
But wouldn't you think some people have a problem with it?
If they do, that's their problem.
That's their problem.
Well, I'm not being mean or
it's
a tough guy or anything, but it's an animal.
I know, I hear you.
Yeah. Can't control
I just want to make sure, because this
no,
is
you're
a new
being a good neighbor.
This is a new world for
as
me.
As long as somebody sees you, the minute that dog poops, you've got the bag out
oh,
and
yeah.
you're picking it up.
I'm ready.
Then you're a good neighbor.
If somebody comes out saying to you, hey, can you stop your dog from peeing on
no,
my grass? Because that's what I would say.
There's
no,
a couple signs in the neighborhood that says, like, don't pee or poop here, like with dog stuff.
What?
Yeah, well, they have that down the shore a lot.
Wait a minute, whoa.
Yeah.
Someone puts a sign on their lawn?
Yeah, occasionally.
A personal sign?
Please don't pee on my,
yeah. It's a big neighborhood. I've probably seen like 3 or 4 of them.
Really?
Over like maybe a couple hundred houses.
I swear to you, I've never seen that sign.
Yeah.
So that's what made me sure it's everywhere.
Where is it?
Some people have it in like their flower bed or like mulched areas. Some have it like close to the sidewalk.
I've seen it before.
I've never seen that sign ever.
I find, look, I'm a weird guy, but I find people that treat their lawn like the Taj Mahal very weird.
Because a lot of people put in a ton of work.
It's a dog. I get it, but it's a dog.
It's a dog.
What do you want it to do?
I'm on your side.
Don't go there.
I can't believe that. I swear to you, this is like, I've never heard of this sign. Someone has a sign on their lawn.
Yeah, many people.
How big is it?
I mean, they vary. Some are like usually like that big. They're kind of small.
Me. You're putting that sign in your lawn. It sits there in front of your house.
Yeah,
it's
hideous.
Oh, and then it'll have a little graphic. It'll have a dog peeing with a big X through it.
Yeah.
Wait, I want to fight you.
Wait a minute. You're telling me you have like 3 or 4 people in your neighborhood that have this sign?
Yeah, I've probably seen about 3 or 4.
If anyone in the audience has anyone in their neighborhood with this sign.
Or has it themselves.
Sorry, so I was worried.
Shame them.
Because
you're
I'm glad everybody supported me.
Take a picture of the house. Do a big circle around the dog sign. I mean, your front lawn of your house. I can't even imagine that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is grass made for?
What is it?
What it's there for.
I know, but I just figured some people would have problems
Seriously,
with it.
Seriously, I don't know. I've lived in some really nice neighborhoods, and I've never seen a sign like that.
Huh.
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, they exist.
Now, down the shore, Bob.
It's rocks, so it's different.
Bob, now something's happening to me like that. Now I remember something about the little tiny sidewalks in Ocean City.
Yeah, because when pee gets under the rocks, it smells. It doesn't disappear. Like, the grass at least kind of absorbs it.
Okay, I swear to you.
That's what rain's for. I mean, it's nature.
I didn't know where you were going with this. I do know this, though. Pets Plus Natural, Bootsy needs to talk to these people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Locally owned and operated for over 30 years with the area's largest selection of all natural pet foods, treats, and supplies to keep your furry loved ones happy and healthy. Visit PetsPlusNatural.com. Provolone Joe's checking in here on The Fanatic. No. Joe, you don't have one of those signs, do you?
No, man, I got to tell you, it's crazy. Like, I love my lawn, but I'm not that fanatical. But my wife walks the dog, and I'm with her one day, and we're doing our lap, and she whips out the water bottle when the dog pees and starts pour water in the grass. I go, what are you doing? She goes, I pour water in the grass so that it doesn't make a brown spot. I'm like, are you crazy? It's pee.
Wait a minute, though. Your wife, Joe, your wife sounds like a gem, though. She's an even better neighbor.
She's the best, but It's a waste of water. Listen, I say this. It's a waste of water bottle on both feet. Come on, man.
Oh, man. There we go.
That I've never heard of.
No, but I think that's a really good neighbor.
Yeah, she's
like, that's a good neighbor
a good
saying, okay, that's a... Here's one, though. My cousin has checked in. So my cousin checks in and said, listening to the show right now, and my cousin, this is my cousin, Olivia. She says, my dad once spray painted messages to dog owners on our sidewalk, telling them to pick up after the dogs, and eventually just that kept the dogs away. And he even wrote to the local newspaper about it.
There's an example of one of them.
I can't even believe that. I've never heard of this.
So somebody, an attorney friend of mine just tweeted me and he said, I've actually researched your area and legally speaking, according to dog curbing ordinances, you are good.
That's unbelievable. Legal? Dog, like lawyers get into this?
I think it's, yeah, I think this has become it's been an issue.
I now my cousin Steve is getting called out. By his own daughter, which I really like. You see, the Kincaids.
Family feud.
The Kincaids will throw you under the bus. Believe me, he married in. He married in. You know, he's a Kincaid by marriage.
All right.
You know, he's just a married.
Not by
we
blood.
Welcomed him into the family. We love our married relatives. But, you know, look, it's the blood's not there. Hey, you want to get in with us? 610-632-0975. Jeff Francoeur joins us at 740, previewing the season. And I think he's got a positive message for Phillies fans. It's John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, 68 teams started the tournament, and only the best four are surviving. And they're approaching championship weekend. And DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting new customers in the center of the action. Bet $1 on any tournament game, and if your team wins, you win $100. It's that simple. Turning $1 into $100 is 100-to-1 odds. Pick any college basketball team that's still remaining, there's only four of them, at your shot at winning $100, and all it takes is a $1 bet and that team winning their next game. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now, or use code FANATIC when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 if the college basketball team of your choosing pulls off the win. That's code FANATIC for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Loving the positive vibe this morning. John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's opening day. And this was actually a Jamie Lynch creation. He goes, look, it's opening day. It's got to be positive. And it's right.
Yeah,
right.
It's hope. Hope it's is on the horizon.
And I got to tell you, I don't feel like the hope is contrived. I don't feel like hope for winning a World Series to me would be contrived.
Yes. Yeah.
But hope for this being a good summer of entertaining baseball, I do not believe is contrived.
I agree with you.
Let's have a good summer. Let's have it not be a disaster. Let's have it not be like the proctologist appointment that is Flyers hockey.
Ooh. Six goals, huh?
Oh my gosh. They're so bad, and I've got to tell you this.
This is a low point.
This might be a low point for the franchise.
Oh, yeah. No, that's what I meant. Not for this season.
No, for the entire franchise.
Yeah, it's really that
bad. What I'm going to say is this, hearing about the Alain Vigneault, I not even walking into the locker room to talk to his team and everything like that. People are applauding that. And as a guy who has worked for NHL coaching staffs, been in the locker rooms, been in the coaches' offices, been a broadcaster in the NHL, I would tell you that is absolute amateur hour. And I'm disappointed in Alain Vigneault. I'm disappointed in that reaction that like, oh, I'm not going to talk to the guys. I'm just going to stay out there. That is, to me, was surprising because I think he's a really good coach. And I think that was a childish, sophomoric way of handling it. You're the boss. This is your creation. Fix it. Don't freaking put your hands up in the air and say, I don't know what's going on. This is frustrating me too. You're not one of us, Alain Vigneault. You are the coach of the Philadelphia Flyers. You are paid handsomely to figure it the hell out. Not going into the, oh, I'm not even going to the locker room and talking to these guys. To me, childish. That's I'm surprised because he's such a good coach, but I'm surprised. That's a bad moment. I think it's a really bad moment.
Yeah, you know, so the other night he starts rolling lines and he sits a lot of the younger kids and says, look, you're not getting it done, so I'm going with the older guys, and they come back and they win the game. I thought that was a great in-game move, not because they won, but I thought, okay, he's given a lesson, he's doing something, because the frustration level that we've had over the last couple of years with Brett Brown was that nothing changes. Everything stays the same, win or lose or whatever. Just
static.
So he was trying, right, he was trying something different. The not talking, if it's done in the manner that you kind of portrayed it to be, like, oh, I got nothing to
say.
No,
he said he didn't do it. The report, and it's, I read different reports where the other night he did not address his team between periods.
Right. Now that.
Just stayed out of the room and didn't even show up and talk to them.
Right. And I mean, by the way you portray, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying if he puts his hands up and says, like, I got nothing to say to you, that's wrong. But if it's more of a, I keep telling you one thing and you're not doing it, I can't keep telling you anymore.
But that's what it says to me if you don't go in and address them.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you.
You know,
I'll go on the side of agreeing with you. I'll just play devil's advocate and say sometimes less is more. And I don't know if he went to a Giroux or a Voracek and said, you know, you better get their asses in line because they're not listening to me anymore. I know it's your job as the coach. I think that's the avenues that he is forced to go down now because he's just at his wit's end.
And Giroux, by the way, said he didn't talk to the team.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said Lawton and...
What the hell?
I forget who the other
what
one was that talked.
What the blank is that about?
Yeah, I guess Elaine gets the...
Whose responsibility is it?
Benefit of the doubt that if he knows how to handle... Like to Bob's point... Yeah.
Not
maybe
based
it's
on
like
this year.
You guys disgust me. I'm not even addressing. Like at some point, the players have to hold themselves accountable. So
the captain.
I'm not
do
like
that, right.
I'm not like pro what he did, but I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt that he knows those guys, and maybe it's a different
That's why
type
you
of
wear
message,
a C, right?
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with Alain Vigneault saying nothing because. I mean, you shouldn't have to say anything. You've struggled. You've dug yourself a hole,
right?
Against the worst team in hockey, three straight games. But the captain not saying, that's, I didn't know that. You just dropped that on me. That's glaring. Scott Laughton, a bottom six forward,
I got to tell you, it sounds to me like that is a locker room that has gone to hell and with no leadership. No leadership.
Yeah.
The captain's not talking? What the hell's that about? Someone take some responsibility for it. It's embarrassing. It is. And you know what isn't embarrassing? When you have a nice hot shower in the morning, though. You may not always need a new water heater, but when you do, choose our friends at Bradford White.
What a segue.
It's not. It's really, really good. So
I like a hot shower.
I do. I love a nice hot shower.
I think the Flyers had cold showers last night.
I got to tell you, it's embarrassing.
The only thing I can equate it to is this, and this is way off the wall, but maybe, John, you might hear me with this. So sometimes you can talk. The only thing I can equate being... as much of a coach as Alain Vigneault is being a father.
Okay.
So you're a leader as a father, and I do that you try to do it every day, and he's a coach every day. Sometimes when less is said, it's more. To one of your kids, you say it over and over and over again, and then you watch them do something, and you just turn away in disgust. Might hit them more than hearing your voice again.
But here's the key, though, is, Bob, you have so much more experience because you have multiple children. I've only had the one experience of being a dad.
Yeah.
And I lucked out that I have a kid who really doesn't step out of line, doesn't get in trouble. I was back at my high school yesterday. And once again, I tried to get access to my, you know, academic and discipline file so I could destroy it. So we could get it out of there because I'm wondering, hopefully the Daily News doesn't do an expose. But like when you have multiple kids, you had to be a different parent to each of them. You can't coach them all the same.
No, but you also can't. That's really hard to do. I mean, you have to be yourself. Kids see through that, right? I mean, if you're acting to try to be something else, do you handle kids differently in different situations? Yeah. But I think you have to be true to yourself, and then they see that you're being true to them.
Jeff Francoeur joins us in just a moment. Josh in Pottstown joins us now on the Fanatic. Josh, good morning. You're on the John Kincaid Show.
Love the show, John. Huge fan.
Thanks, Josh.
Hey, I gotta go off on the Flyers right here. You know, this core has only won two total rounds of playoffs since 2012. Where does the captain get off not going and addressing the team? You know, this core, they've gone through, what, five or six different head coaches. The Giroux, the Voracheks, these guys, they got to get rid of these guys. I mean
it's the wrong DNA. That locker room, Josh, has the wrong DNA.
They do, but let me tell you something, John. This Flyers team is where the Sixers were pre-process, okay? You need to get rid of these guys. And the problem is, John, if you look at the NHL salary cap, the Flyers, they got bad contracts.
They got
older guys.
But, Josh, here's the difference.
Sure.
The Sixers sabotaged themselves, and thanks for your call. The Sixers sabotaged themselves to get there. The Flyers thought they were going to be good.
Yeah.
And got here. But I will never take leadership being, I'm throwing up my hands in frustration. That's not leadership. It's not. And from the captain and the head coach, I think from the head coach, it's inexcusable. I would say if I'm his boss, I would say, what am I paying you for? If you're this, oh, I'm trying to do some psychological game with them or something like that. Dude, the building's burning. We got babies we need to get out of windows. Here.
They're different sports, but maybe you can ask our next guest about that tactic, because I'm sure it's implored across all the sports at times.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the truth. We'll go to the Comcast Business Hotline, where you don't just bounce back, you bounce forward with Comcast Business. And we are glad to have with us former Philly, we'll lead with that, former Brave, former Ranger, former Met, and Braves broadcaster Jeff Francoeur, who I now welcome into my new home here at 97.5 The Fanatic. Frenchie, good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you, buddy?
Doing well. I want you to meet Bob and Jamie and Pat, too. You don't know them yet, but you'll meet them sometime in studio when you come on by.
What's up, guys?
What's going on, Jeff?
Do I have to send a car for you, by the way, when you come and join us in studio sometime?
No, we'll just send Egan.
No, are you kidding me? No, I need... Yeah, you send someone that can take me to the studio and then to the golf course. That's all I need. Whatever car they get me there, that's fine with me.
Jeff, I always tell people that up here, because I told you, your name would come up so often when people would know I was living in down there and then you were playing for that. And I would hear from people that I asked you many times, and we talked about it when you joined the Phillies. We would talk, and you said you loved it here.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, the way they treated the families up there and the stadium, I love playing there, first off. It's a beautiful stadium. And then the fans, look, I think you either embrace it or you don't. And you know me, being a football player type guy, I love the passion. I love to embrace that. I love when, you know what, if you messed up, people yell at you. I'm fine with it, you know, because also when I do well, they're going to cheer me. So, it was a lot of fun and you know, I think looking back, you know, probably for the bullpen's sake last year, it's probably good there weren't fans in the stands last year.
Do you believe the Phillies starting out 2021, when you scout the other teams that could be a threat to the Braves in the East, do you see the Phillies as being in the best position they've been to compete in a while?
I do. I said all comes down to the bullpen for me. When you look at their lineup's fantastic. You look at their starting rotation, you know, look, 1-2-3 is great. 4-5, they're going to keep you in ball games enough. To me, it's going to come down to that bullpen again. And look, the Phillies last year, you know, blew so many games that, you know, that was over a 60-game period. And I like to say, you know, if you do that too many times, you wear down an offense. You wear down a starting staff where they feel like they have to be perfect. And, you know, so, but I like the moves they made, and I don't think, see there's any way the bullpen's not going to be better. Like I said, but that, to me, that's the key. If the Phillies bullpen's good, they're going to have a chance to be right in the thick of things, whether they win the division, whether they win a wild card spot, but they got a chance to be there, but that bullpen's got to hold up.
Jeff, the sustained success that the Braves have had while you were there, even before you, is really quite impressive. What do you attribute it to mostly? Through your years with them as a player and then, of course, on other teams and now as an announcer, what do you attribute their success to through all these years?
Well, I always like to say, you know, they've never had a huge turnover down here. There's been a lot of people in charge that kind of know the way they like to do it. Now, you know, like I said, look, I think, you know, there's a difference between, you know, what they've done down here and then gotten to the postseason and haven't been able to get over the hump. I think finally you saw last year for them, they kind of were able to kind of move that way. And then they went and added Charlie Morton. And, you know, Smiley, you know, we'll see, but I love the Charlie Morton sign for the Braves, especially when you're talking postseason pitching. But I, look, I think, you know, this team has always relied on pitching first for the most part. And even though they have an unbelievable offense this year, I think you look at that rotation with Fried and Morton and Anderson, you know, you got Smiley. And then we haven't talked about that Soroka, who was supposed to be the ace last year, is going to be coming back at the end of April. So to me, that, by putting the strength of your team on the starting pitching, it gives you a chance every night. And I think that's important.
Jeff, I've told a few stories on the air about Brian Snicker and, you know, the lifelong baseball guy who sort of, he would tell the story to me about, you know, he sort of was brought along kicking and screaming to embrace the analytics, but he embraces the analytics and then just doesn't, but during games, he's managing from his gut. He's managing with things. And that's what I think a lot of these managers are not doing. They're managing by binders, and I worry about that.
Let me tell you, for the first time last year, I think we all can agree we saw Dave Roberts actually manage maybe somewhat the way he wanted to during the World Series. Leaving guys in a little bit longer, not pulling them, not just putting this guy, you know, like Julio Urias when he was in the game last year, he finally just left him in. I think back 2 years ago when I called Washington and LA in the NLDS, when I called it for TBS, and Kit Maeda was absolutely dealing, and they pull him, bring in Kershaw. And the more you do that kind of stuff to me, the more you mess it up. And that's why I said, I think you're seeing the Phillies, which I like. Think back to the glory days, man. I don't care what anybody says. You had Ruben Amaro, Charlie Manuel, you know, and that whole crew, you know, kind of going. And then they just totally went away from it. And because of, you know, to me, none other than, look, some guys got old. And you have to rebuild sometimes. It's not going to be perfect. You lost all your starting pitching and a lot of your great offensive players. So I love that they've kind of gone back. Joe Girardi is a baseball guy, man, and Dave Dombrowski. But I totally agree. Brian Snicker, if you go listen, he listens to everybody. He takes all the info. He sees some things that he said, look, that I never would have done 3-4 years ago. So I appreciate some of that. But ultimately, if I'm out there watching – Ian Anderson, absolutely deal. I don't care what this card says. He's staying in the game, and I can live with that. And I think that's one thing the Phillies are going to enjoy again, the fans watching Joe Girardi manage a game, is that it's going to feel more natural.
Hey, Jeff, can you take a second to talk to us about the importance of a hitting coach? We had a couple guys here in town, you know, mostly Rhys Hoskins and Scott Kingery, that during the Gabe Kapler era kind of got beaten down with some analytics and launch angle and, you know, all that stuff that modern baseball loves. Now they're kind of, you know, they've gone through a couple changes in hitting coaches now. Can you talk about the importance of a hitting coach, how much maybe they get in your head if there's too much information? And basically what I'm getting at is can Rhys Hoskins become that 35 to 40 home run hitter again, or has too much damage been done?
I don't think too much damage has been done. I think he's got to get to the point where he's okay with, you know, I hate to say it, maybe swinging at something bad every once in a while. I think he's become so patient that you watch him. He lets a lot of good pitches go, you know, I'll tell you, his first 2 years, man, I loved watching him out there, you know, swinging. And look, he still had a good eye, but, you know, I want him hitting 35 home runs. I don't want him, you know, hitting 18 home runs and you know, not giving me that power, especially in that lineup. So, I think, you know, there's a lot of different hitting coaches. I remember when I first got called up, Terry Pendleton, who was a heck of a player, was our hitting coach. And he basically kind of told us, look, I'm here to flip. I'm here to do this. I'll help you the best I can. But you got up here for a reason. You're going to need help at times, but you know how to hit. So let's not overthink this. And I think that's important. I think that's something that there's so many numbers these days and launch angle. I think back the one stat, guys, that I would have loved to have when I played was exit velocity. I think that's a good stat because I think it lets people players especially kind of know, man, you know what? I'm actually hitting the ball freaking hard right now. I might be at people, so I need to stay where I'm at. Because, you know, when you pull a 1 for 12, the paper might not look at it, or the people might just say, oh, he's 1 for 12. But, you know, they can say, look, you've hit 6-7 balls on the button. And I think that's an important stat. Some of that other stuff, you know, you can throw it out the window as far as I'm concerned.
Jeff Francoeur, Braves broadcaster, former Philly, too, joining us here on the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. So, Jeff, I've been accused of potentially, one of our YouTube followers is obsessed with this. He's like, John is a sleeper cell. He's really a Braves fan, and he's just pretending to be a Phillies fan. You heard me when you were in high school. You then came up through Major League Baseball. Then you joined my show in Atlanta. Jeff, would you assure people that the city of Atlanta never thought of me as a Braves fan? I mean, it's just,
you need to come down here and pull them down here, and I think you'll realize what they think. I'll say this, John became, you know, a Braves fan as a second team, 100%. You know, you get to know the players, you get right. to know the people, and you develop relationships. But you never lost the Philly, and you. And I think a lot of people appreciated that because that's who you were, that's where you're from. You know, and honestly, it's the way I feel when I come up to Philly. I love Philly. You know that. I told
sure you,
Barry, I tell the people around here, and I enjoyed the heck out of playing there. And pull for a lot of those people. But, you know, at the end of the day, I grew up here in Atlanta. That's who I am.
I was never known as the Braves guy. Let's just put it that way.
No, you are.
What is a logical number for the Phillies in your mind? Logical number for the Phillies win total for the year. If you were just gut instinct, logical number.
I think they can win 85 to 88 games. And I think that's with, look, if they're playing well at the deadline, there's no doubt in my mind they're going to add to that team. So it's kind of like I said with the Braves down here. I think offensively and starting pitching, the Braves are great. You know, their bullpen is good. Don't get me wrong, but it can get better. And I think that's, if the Braves are playing well at the deadline, you're going to see maybe a bullpen tour guy. I think, you know, the Phillies, if you're seeing them do what they could, you could see them go get a starting pitcher at the deadline and completely make that team different. So with that being said, with their team now, I think they can win 85 to 87 games.
I believe,
you add some of the deadline, you might be a 90-win team.
I believe there's one steak dinner in my future when you come through post-COVID.
I am. Steak dinner. Yeah, we're going to go to Delphi. We're going to go to Del Frisco's, and then we're going to hammer the butter cake at the end.
Oh, that's Jeff. Love
that
it.
That's my one. That's oh, it's my awesome. One regret about not calling the games on the road this year. I said last night I would have been at Del Frisco's in a food comatose.
Love you. Say hello to the family, and talk to you soon. See you, Jeff.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
enjoy
Jeff.
There you go, buddy. Jeff Francoeur joined us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Don't just bounce back, bounce forward with Comcast Business. We would bet on football. And we would bet on football and his beloved Clemson Tigers. He would come on, and he did a weekly hit with us and from the time he was playing. And Jeff said, well, we don't have to talk baseball every time.
That's cool.
And so we talk baseball, but then he'd want to talk football. He loves football.
I think Ricky Bowe might say something similar to you today.
Exactly. Hey, Natural Lawn of America is safer for your lawn, your kids, and your pets. Schedule their full-service program and get free seeding every year. Call 800-FREE-SEED. Natural Lawn of America with greener grass and fewer weeds. Guaranteed. The 8 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show is getting ready to come your way. And we are going to go to our envelopes because we need to go on the record with our number. And I think that was a pretty promising message from across enemy lines that people are looking at the Phillies as having a pretty competitive year. What number will we put down? We'll all put it in the envelope coming up next. We'll talk about it. Plus, Bob Cooney's had a pretty good, let's just say, effect on me. And I'll tell you why coming up. It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, John. And I got to tell you, the tournament is down to just four teams. So if you've been watching from the sidelines, now's your chance to get in on the action. Don't wait any longer. FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is hooking you up with exclusive 40-to-1 odds on all four teams left in the bracket, even the favorites. That's right. New users can get 40-to-1 odds on any team to win this round. You can win $200 on just a $5 bet. Who am I betting? Sorry, got to go chalk. Gonzaga's laying a big number. Baylor is also laying a pretty big number. Not as big, but I'm going with the favorites this weekend. All you have to do is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and make your first deposit to unlock exclusive 40-to-1 odds. The app is so easy to use, and they have the best promotions and live betting. And when you win, you get your money in as little as 24 hours. Just sign up with promo code Bob so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Bob. Must be 21 or older and present in New Jersey or Pennsylvania. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Opening day 2021. John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Positivity ruling today. And a gentleman here says, I was very skeptical hearing a Braves broadcaster coming on. He said, did you know what he was going to say about the Phillies? And I said to him, I said, I would have brought him on if he said the Phillies were going to win 75 games.
Yeah.
But he's very optimistic. He believes that he said you didn't ask him what position they'd be in the division. I said, no, I just asked what kind of team are they? He is a big believer, though. And we didn't get into it deeper, but I know from Jeff, when Dave Dombrowski got hired, he goes, clutch hire.
That seems to be the word around baseball.
That was the text. He goes, clutch hire.
He's been impressive so far.
He said, what he'll do is just stabilize. I said, well, what's so good about him? And he said, you've got an adult in the room. The man knows exactly how to do the job. He's done it. He's worked with everybody. He knows everybody. And he said, and if you don't believe that players that are on the open market or players that are not attracted to that, stable organizations with guys in charge that.
I think we undervalue that as fans.
He's a big. I think we do too. I know.
The guy that attracts.
I know. I do.
Yeah.
Well, look at his non-roster invitees this year.
I've been impressed with all of his moves. My concern with him at the time of the hire was, can he remake this farm system into something credible? Because look,
we didn't Detroit.
Yeah, you can sign all the free agents in the world. It doesn't matter unless you have a farm system.
Yes, truth. Martin Law is the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com, and they are the fine sponsor of our 8 o'clock hour. Let's start it this way, folks. It's envelope time again. 162 chances for your Philadelphia Phillies to be successful, but just one chance for all of us to be right. And isn't that what we all want, to be right when all said and done? We won't open these envelopes again till October. And the show seems pretty confident that we're all looking for a winning season. So we will all keep it to ourselves and write down the number of wins that the Phillies will secure. From our conversations, though, I have been believing that we're all going to be in the relative same neighborhood. So I've decided to throw the tiebreaker curveball at us. You will also predict the amount of wins that Zach Eflin will secure this season.
Spicy.
As a tiebreaker, just in case two people end up with the same number or two people are just a game apart on who is victorious here. Because that seems to be the bigger point of contention on the show. We all sort of seem like, yeah, Phillies are going to be a winning team, but the Zach Eflin issue has been interesting. So it's time to go on the record, and may the best baseball man win. So that is what everybody's going to take their pen. I have to get my pen because I didn't even have a pen out. So I'll get my pen here. Bob, are you feeling good on this?
You need a pen?
You can give it to me. Yeah, you can give it. I'll use Jamie's.
Wow.
A little bit of a.
I lost that in the lights.
he threw it like a spear at me there. Let me go his number. So everybody's putting down.
All right,
number.
I'm in.
Everybody's putting down number. Now you need your Zach number.
That?
But you also need your. But you need your Zach. You need your Zach number. But what's the Zach
number? Oh, I already had that. I've had that in my head.
You already had that.
Yeah.
The Zach number. Okay. And I'm going to put the Zach number down, and I've done it. And I'll throw the pen right back to you at the same time. See, same thing. You lost it in the lights.
Bad communication. Bad cook up here.
You lost it in the lights. You look like Nelson Aguilar in a couple of his, except. But
Todd Pinkston.
He came through pretty big for us. He came through pretty big for us at times.
He was big on that Super Bowl year.
I'm going to write that down.
I won't speak ill of him.
I forgot to put the name on the envelope, but I'll do that here coming up. And I would say that number, the first number was incredibly easy to write. The second number was not.
I think we're going to have some ties on that first number.
Do you?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
because we're all in the same range.
We're all in the same sort of range.
Which is like a 3 to 4 game window.
Pat, do you believe...
Are we allowed to lick envelopes? Because I just did.
I licked the finger.
I licked the finger, yeah.
We're all like 100 wins, right? Didn't you know George's wife died from licking envelopes, Bob?
It was Susan. His fiance.
During the Susan's wife. Susan. Soon to be wife.
During the four of us, what are the odds that... We all put the same, or three of us have the same number.
Because I don't think it's 105.
Because I don't believe that.
I had 107.
Because I don't believe the number is going to be the same.
I know mine's not. I don't think.
I think Jamie's right. I think we're all in the ballpark, but I don't think any of us have.
I think we're all in the neighborhood.
I think maybe two of us might have the same number, but that's it.
What would you think is the greatest disparity, Pat, between the Zach number?
Oh, at least 5 wins.
Oh. That's a tasty opinion.
I don't know if you would go irrationally low on him.
No, Zach Eflin to me.
I think we're all going to be right around the same number there, too.
Yeah. We very well, as far as how that checks out.
I want to say it.
Don't say it because it's sealed away. And the best thing is, every time you do one of these envelope operations, when you open up the envelope, everyone always says the same things. I forgot what I wrote because I had a gentleman send me an email the other day, and I'll keep it out here. Ed says to me, excuse me for a second as I pull it up. That's good radio. Ed says to me, how could you guys be opening up the envelope and not remember what you put as who the Eagles were going to pick at 6? He goes, it seems like a bit of a silly premise. You all would remember it. Why don't you just say it? I said, because we have to show it.
That's what I told him.
We have to prove what we thought. That's why we put it in the envelope.
We lie. So we have to.
Because somebody would go, oh, yeah, I was in on that. Yeah. I thought this is. Plus, too, I said to him, too, it's fun to be right. It is fun to be right.
It's fun to pull it out. Yep, there it is.
That's my writing.
Bob, let me get that pen from you there. It's fine. We're as far as, there you go. Bob tosses a pen properly.
Yeah.
And we will put those down there. So I've now named my picks. So. Baseball picks, we'll put them away and we'll put them in the vault and we will check back in on them and there's a safe actually in coach's office that we can use. Bob, you've had a good influence on me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I think you've had a good influence. I've said that too. I think real good influence on me. I've decided to bury the hatchet with something today. I am going to, and it's April Fool's Day, so people don't believe it.
Everybody's on edge.
I am going to go back as a guest today on my old radio station.
Oh.
Something I swore I would not do. And I thought about Bob, though, is that Bob just seems exhausted with the idea of you carry around stuff. You said it in a conversation last week and I wrote it down. Well, you're talking
baggage.
About something with sports. Like it seems like a waste of energy, is what you said during a conversation.
Fighting is like a waste of energy. It's tiring.
And it's tiring. But the thing is, I have no gripe with any of my old coworkers. None of them.
Yeah. They didn't make the decision.
I love them. They're like family. So I decided.
Imagine someday you'll say that about us, John.
Hopefully not. Hopefully I'll be in retirement when that happens. But I said, so I decided to do it today. Now, the problem is everybody is emailing going, I'm not falling for the stupid prank. Because they're all saying Kincaid has the list. It's the list.
The hosts aren't the list.
But the hosts aren't on the list.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
you know what? You just made the list.
Right. But they all know the list. So they're like.
What wrestler is that, by the way? The Miz.
That's Chris Jericho.
That's Jericho?
Oh, yeah. It's Jericho. You're right.
I was wrong.
Wow. And you're a wrestling fan?
I did not know that.
You know that Staples has got everything you need to be organized and productive, like home office furniture, the latest tech, and organizational supplies, all at amazing prices. Get a fresh start with big savings from Staples. Bob, I was talking about being tired, and then Bob Cooney in the very next conversation was talking about that it's exhausting to be, to like have that stuff is exhausting.
I just think going through life looking for arguments, or fights, all that. It's tiring. And I say that to my kids all the time. Drama's tiring. Just try to be happy. Happy is really uplifting, and you're not as tired.
So I decided, since I have nothing against my old coworkers at all.
Yeah, go for it.
And I love them like family. I said,
just
you know
speak glowingly of us.
Yes. Now, do I put the dig in, though? Because the boss who owns the company will be listening.
Oh, absolutely. I think you take it.
So, Bob, this is where I get my pebbles at. You said pebbles or death by a thousand.
You
got
to take a little slight
dig.
So
I'm taking shots during this.
I'm trying to get it to the point where after the interview, an email goes out saying he can't be on anymore.
I plan on doing the chicken Caesar was the big thing. So I was going to sign a contract extension when I got told that, well, there won't be any contract.
Well, their losses are gain.
And I was, but I had ate a chicken Caesar while I do it. So now
it's a nice item.
So now being chicken Caesared has become part of the vernacular.
Okay.
And they've even started to use it. And we're told a couple hosts said it when a player got cut. They were like, oh, he got chicken Caesared. And a memo did go on that one.
Oh, yeah. No, I try to burn it down. And it wouldn't be the first time Atlanta was burned. So
they could have, exactly.
You know what's a nice item? The chicken Caesar wrap.
By the way, you do know that
I had that at the Five Iron.
By the way, what kind of a history buff are you?
I know enough.
Egan's sneaky good history, I'm going to say.
He's a sneaky good student.
I think he's sneaky good history guy.
Did you know that when Albuquerque got burned down in the Civil War, that they built the new city on top of it?
That was Sherman's march to...
Yes.
Yeah.
But they built the new city on top of it.
Just on top of why your elevation's so high.
But yeah, well, no, it's not part of it. I mean, we're 1,200, you know, it's like a 1,200 feet above sea level city. But there's, so the old city and large portions of the old city are underground.
Huh. That's good.
And if you've ever heard of underground Atlanta.
Is there tours?
No.
Because I did that in Seattle there's an underground.
There's businesses.
Really?
And actually, businesses exist in what was old Atlanta underneath the roads.
Huh.
That's cool.
So there's
that is
underground.
Cool.
So there it is. So there's a little history buff for you. Now,
wow.
I need a perfect 10 today. From our man, Jamie Lynch, as we go to Mock Draft 10.0. But before we start...
This is new.
They're at 12.
Yeah.
So we really got to be careful here. So, I mean, this is very exciting stuff, and our friends at Prop Swap bring it to us.
Of course they do. And you can find the best odds in the country only on the free Prop Swap app, because you are buying directly from people like us, other sports bettors who are ready to cash out. Join the rest of us and go to PropSwap.com right away. So the new mock is basically picks 7 through 12.
Correct. Well, yes.
1 through 6, we've been over 9 times now.
And I don't even want to see who goes at 6, because it's going to be a kick in the beanbags.
You're not going to like it.
Oh, jeez.
So why don't we send it to the commish, and let's get through these first 6 picks. Trevor Lawrence. The NFL draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select. All right, next.
The second pick in the NFL draft, the New York Jets select.
Zach Wilson. Justin Fields.
With the third pick, the San Francisco 49ers select.
Justin Fields.
With the fourth pick in the NFL draft, the Atlanta Falcons select.
Trey Lance, quarterback, North Dakota State.
With the fifth pick in the NFL draft, the Cincinnati Bengals select.
Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver, LSU.
With the sixth pick in the NFL draft, the Miami Dolphins select.
Kyle Pitts, tight end, wide receiver, University of Florida.
Wow.
All right, now the new draft
now
begins.
Let's go. Yeah, seven,
this is where it gets important.
All right.
With the seventh pick in the NFL draft, the Detroit Lions select
Penei Sewell, offensive tag. If he falls to them at 7,
they'll be thrilled.
They should be thrown in jail if they don't take him.
That's a great pick if that's how it ends up.
If I'm Detroit, I'm naked.
That's a great pick.
Commish,
you're such an idiot.
You're making the pick naked. That's
totally.
With the eighth pick in the NFL draft, the Carolina Panthers select.
Now, this is the kind of linchpin of this whole shebang here. Because Carolina's desperate for a quarterback. They're going to try and, I would think, make a move somewhere. I don't know if they can get in the top five and get that quarterback now, though. If Mac Jones is on the board, I don't think he's rules guy, but I think they're going to heavily consider him because of how desperate they are. I'll go Mac Jones, quarterback, University of Alabama.
I don't hate the logic at all.
Yeah.
At all.
They don't have any other options right now.
Yeah, I don't hate the logic at
all. They're kind of screwed. That trade with at three,
oh, they got Jones.
That ruined them.
Desperate.
Kamish.
With the ninth pick in the NFL draft, the Denver Broncos select...
He's got some off-the-field baggage, but on the field, this guy's an absolute monster. Denver likes their linebackers and edge rushers. Micah Parsons, linebacker, Penn State University.
They do like their linebackers, so the logic does hold there.
Kamish!
With the 10th pick in the NFL draft, the Dallas Cowboys select...
Cornerback, University of Alabama, Patrick Surtain. We all know they need defense.
They do. That'll be a sad one to see come off the board.
That'll
be a bad one to see come off the
The best cornerback falls to you at 10 and you're in desperate need, pumped.
Yeah, they're thrilled.
Kamish?
With the 11th pick in the NFL draft, the New York Giants select...
Rashawn Slater, combo... center, guard, tackle.
Not a bad pick at
all. Whatever the hell you need him to be. Lineman from Northwestern University going up to North Jersey.
Okay.
And finally, Kamish.
Oh, boy. I'm nervous.
With the 12th pick in the NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select.
I was between two guys, but today.
I've heard that. Yeah. I've heard that, but.
Rocking a hard place.
Now you're married.
More like heaven.
Yes.
The Philadelphia Eagles select wide receiver, University of Alabama.
Yeah.
Jalen Waddle. Devontae Smith still on the board.
Guess what?
I'm letting you process.
I do not mind the logic. I'm going to freaking hate draft night.
It's going to be torturous because not only do you have to live with the pick at six, then you have to deal with Dallas and New York.
When I see what happened at six, and honestly, I had one of the most mind-numbingly crazy conversations yesterday. I was hoping that Anthony Gargano had seen NFL Live. They were doing a discussion of who controls the draft now. Like, who controls the draft? And they're all talking
six.
The sixth pick in the freaking draft.
Yeah, it kind of does.
The sixth pick in the freaking draft.
Yeah.
Controls the draft now. They were debating between Cincinnati. The two choices were
five
Cincinnati
and six.
The sixth.
Yeah.
I'm saying because they know Atlanta doesn't want to trade out.
Yeah.
And now the quarterbacks are coming.
Yeah.
They want to get the quarterback out of the future, but they may be able to get the offensive lineman stud.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Miami, you might be looking at a Jamar Chase or Kyle Pitts versus Penei Sewell.
It came down to a debate of Cincinnati, and they also think that Cincinnati doesn't want to move out of five. That they really don't want to.
Because you're getting either the best wide receiver or the best offensive tackle, which, look, you can make the argument that wide receivers shouldn't be drafted that high and offensive tackles should. But either way, they're sitting pretty.
So then they're all debating who controls the draft. And they're like, the sixth pick.
Yeah.
Well, the sixth pick would have been freaking more valuable if you held it. If you held it. There is no argument about this. There's no argument to be made that it wouldn't have been more valuable to hold on to that pick. You didn't have to do it when you did it.
Yeah. I always thought because we put so much concentration on the first six picks that it was just, okay, when it gets to the Eagles six, let's see what happens, and then it falls off. Now that they've gone to 12, this really, I'm not going to say it's a six-man draft, but after six.
It's tough.
No, it seems to like really fall off.
Like about, there's good players, no doubt.
There's good players.
How about draft grades? Bob, to your point, draft grades. They're saying if you go by, because they have Sewell going seventh now.
Okay.
Some people.
Are smart. That's what I had.
So, and that is smart.
Those days.
They had eighth pick through 23rd pick. The lowest draft grade variance ever.
Wow.
Right now, 4 weeks out from the draft, a little less than four. It's 4 weeks today.
Yeah, 4 weeks.
Eighth pick to 23rd. Never had the draft grades been where the 22nd pick could be as rated as high as the 9th pick. Mm. The 20th pick could be rated as high as the 12th pick.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Hey, Martin Law is the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. And I've got to tell you, Jamie, I hate your pick there.
Thank you.
I don't hate you. I just hate the message.
I will say one thing. If Rashawn Slater is there at 12, you absolutely have to consider
him. Must consider it. Here's what I'd like to consider, though. Somebody may be smarter in our audience. Pat, have you ever assumed that somebody may be smarter than Jamie?
Oh, for Jamie, yeah. For Jamie, yeah.
Every day in a staff meeting, I usually think that there's got to be somebody potentially smarter than Jamie.
He's a very intelligent guy, but yeah.
Can we prove it, though? can somebody prove it?
Like somebody, like, beat the bro?
Well, tell me the concept.
Bring it on.
Because Pat brought this sneaky little concept up.
He is sneaky.
So, what's the concept, wiry. Pat?
Very, let's talk very about sneaky. It. So, if you head on over to our Twitter account at 975JKShow or 975TheFanatic.com, and I'm going to put it on Facebook in a second, you can enter to beat Jamie in his mock draft. So, all you have to do is enter, and then you can put, you know, pick number one is going to be Trevor Lawrence. Pick number two is going to be Zach Wilson. It doesn't matter what team, but if you have the most correct picks, you'll walk away with $250 from our friends at PropSwap.
Okay, that's not bad. Like a great deal. And PropSwap are good friends of Jamie Lynch.
Absolutely. Wait, so if nobody beats me, I get the $250, right? No. That's the way this works?
No, you don't.
Oh, come
Stop
on.
Stop that.
Wait a minute.
Because someone's going to beat you.
I bet you that PropSwap would do that.
They would.
Give him $250?
I think they would.
I think they've given him enough money.
He doesn't deserve it.
I've heard the commercials. I think they sort of do. I'm excited, though, Jamie, that you... Jamie was very open to this.
This is fun. I can't wait.
And Jamie said he was willing to, you know, he's willing to go up against anybody and show that he knows more.
I like this. This is fun to me. 4 weeks out, this is when it starts getting
Four
real.
4 weeks out, right.
Yeah, what, it's real now.
I thought of Jamie when I came up kind of with the idea for it because Jamie did no less than 150 to our mock draft last year.
Jamie, though, I'm all going to tell you, do your homework because he's doing his homework. He's not just throwing him out there. Sometimes he does his homework at the lunch table.
Yeah.
But he's doing his homework.
Yeah, so it's not willy-nilly.
Bob, Jamie or the field?
Oh.
Does someone beat the drum?
I say no. I say Jamie.
Wow. How about this?
I'll say yes.
How about this?
I got your back. You don't have your own back.
I'm going to say, just to make this clear, I say a listener ties the bro.
All right.
And if he ties the bro or she ties the bro, they win, right? Because they're going to win the contest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I say somebody ties you. I say somebody doesn't beat you.
Wow. All right. I think
because I am waiting, as you know from working with me already, I'm waiting to pick apart your logic.
Sure.
I've liked your logic.
Yeah.
In fact, it's the most logical thing you've said in the show since we worked together. Because your work is very good on
that.
That
number eight Carolina pick is the crux of it all.
It is. It really does. It changes everything. So check it on out. Go to the Twitter feed at 975JKShow to enter our Beat the Bro contest. So we look forward to having everybody involved in that. And thanks, PropSwap, for being a part of it. That is absolutely awesome. It's a Thursday. That means it's game time. And I believe the name dropper is making a return. Get online right now. You want to play the game with us? Of course you do. For fabulous prizes, 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. It's a game time Thursday. Get on in now. Get lined up to win a fabulous prize on the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. I know, guys, we had a great time the other day at 5-Iron in Center City. 5-Iron Golf.
Oh, what a blast. Awesome.
It was fantastic. Great. The golf simulators where you are really choosing wherever you want to play.
Yeah.
You're looking at...
You guys went to California. I chose to go to South Carolina and Kiowa.
They've got great packages for the Masters to play on the simulators and order food while you watch the Masters starting April 7th. It is absolutely awesome. Check it out. I think you want to go a lot. I know Jamie saw one of his buddies in there who has a membership.
Yeah, he's doing a tournament. They follow the PGA Tour. It's incredible.
This is incredible.
Idea.
Check out the full menu. You can store your clubs there. You can use the locker rooms. You can take advantage of the golf pro, but don't take too much advantage of them. There may be a lawsuit. If you want to improve your golf game or get started with the sport, it is a fantastic spot. That's what Mikey was doing, getting started with the sport. Look no further than our friends at 5-Iron on Chestnut Street in Center City. We are absolutely going to be back at 5-Iron. It's awesome. Visit 5-Iron at 2116 Chestnut Street in Center City and at 5irongolf.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Thanks so much for hanging out with the John G. Cade Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. It is a game time Thursday, so if you want to get in with us, Connor is waiting for your call. It's 610-632-0975, and we have got some awesome amazing gifts today. How about a two-hour simulator and bar restaurant gift card to Five Iron Golf?
If you were giving me choices, that would be my first.
I think that would be my first, too.
I was that fun.
They're all great prizes.
They are.
Bob Reedy, right from the script. A $25 Amazon gift card.
Can't go wrong there.
$25 NBA store gift card.
I spent $25 on Amazon last night.
Olivia spent at the NBA store and got her Sixers sweatshirt for Saturday night.
There you go. Good work.
She's so excited.
I was working. Mine was boring. Job. It was a lawnmower charging cable. Not cool.
Really?
Wait, you have an electric lawnmower?
No, it's a starter, a key starter instead of the pole. So that's I figured out what
yeah,
the
yeah, yeah, yeah. And then there's a digital download of Wonder Woman 1984.
Wait, what?
Gail Godot. I could look at her all day.
I heard that movie was horrible, though.
It's right? Not good, right? But she's breathtakingly gorgeous.
And all winners also get a pair of passes to see Godzilla versus Kong.
It's getting some good reviews I've seen
it
on
is.
Twitter.
It's gotten some, yeah, surprisingly good reviews. We talked about that, though, on this show, didn't
yeah,
we?
It's like entertaining.
Yeah, it's stupid entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
By the way, Godzilla vs. Kong is in theaters and streaming exclusively on HBO Max right now, rated PG-13. And we love our friends at Five Iron Golf.
I was teasing Egan on that. That's a great movie. Wonder Woman's a really good movie, but I teased him before because I watched it and I really liked it.
Well, it's game time, Patty boy.
Which names did Kincaid drop last month? Let's find out as we start the Name Dropper. Let's begin.
Hello. Yes, another edition of Which Kincaid Names Did Kincaid Drop. There were quite a few.
You mean you had a big list?
Woo! I think you dropped. So, to pull people behind the scenes, now you know what the game is. But the first Thursday in March did not come on March 1st.
Right.
So you hit so many names in the first couple days before we unveiled this game for the first time.
So you had them for March.
And then once you found out what the game was, you kind of took a, you relaxed a little bit.
I don't think I have.
But then you finished the month strong.
Okay,
John.
Good.
Attaboy, John. Attaboy.
People that aren't aware, this is a pretty simple concept. If you're new to the show, John has a tendency to drop names, whether it A, B, C, or Z-list celebrity. If John has ever met them, he's dropping their name. So I'm going to give you a name. You have to tell me if that name was dropped in the month of March. Or not.
I love this.
All right.
I love this, and it is a fun game. People enjoyed it, and we have fabulous prizes, Pat. So I'm going to bring in Matt from Allentown is first up. Matt, welcome to the Fanatic. Here's Pat Egan.
All right, Matt, I'm going to give you the name Mark Hamill. Did John drop the name Mark Hamill in the month of March?
Ooh, that's a good one. Skywalker, I'm going to go with yes. He dropped it.
That name was not dropped.
Star Wars?
Sorry, Matt.
You associate me with Star Wars guy?
I don't know. He seems to know a lot of people. So
yeah, not there you go.
You're not a Star Wars guy.
I never saw a Star Wars movie till the last sequence of movies started and Olivia wanted to go. So I got the box set.
Nice.
And then we watched 4, 5, 6.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Those are the originals.
And they were, but 1, 2, 3 sucked.
Yeah, they sucked. You don't have to waste
sucked.
Time with them. Wait,
but
1, 2, 3, like Star Wars, the original,
is
4, 5, 6.
Star Wars, the original's 4, though.
Okay.
The original Star Wars was 4.
Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi.
And then they did 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Okay, but the original Star Wars
4, 5, 6 in the order.
That was 4, 5, 6, and I liked them.
I love Star Wars. I read the books.
I apologize to everybody for throwing out the name Mark Hamill and starting this discussion.
You did this.
You did this. Chris in Newtown joins us on the name dropper. Here's Pat Egan, Chris.
Chris, I'm going to give you the name Brian Westbrook. Did John Kincaid drop the name Brian Westbrook in the month of March?
Yes, I'm confident.
All right, let's find out.
That name was dropped.
People from Newtown are smart.
Good, Chris. And let's take a listen to the name drop.
I had a little exchange with Brian Westbrook, by the way, where I was telling Brian Westbrook. Brian Westbrook was talking about my interview. There you go.
So you are going
Chris is a winner. What's he get?
Chris is going to win and this is an awesome gift, a 2-hour simulator/bar/restaurant gift card to Five Iron Golf. It is an incredible experience. I got a lot of golf in there.
Chris, it's awesome. And Pat took the most swings of anybody.
He loved it.
You're gonna enjoy it. Thank you for listening, Chris.
Yeah, Pat probably took triple the swings that Connor and I did.
Yeah, but he enjoyed it, though.
I'm trying to brag, but a couple of the holes, I did get the max score. So I think I won.
Yeah. I don't know how that works, but let's see. Now, here's a name, an underrated name you do not hear enough. Earl.
Great name.
Earl in Washington Township is on the Fanatic here on Name Dropper. Earl, welcome to the show. Here's Pat.
Earl. Did John Kincaid drop the name Desmond Howard? Desmond Howard. Did he drop that name in March?
Yes.
That name was dropped.
Attaboy, Earl.
He's on the list.
Finally.
He's on the list.
Earl doesn't care. He just wants to hear the actual drop happen. Here you go.
You do an interview? Desmond Howard, head first into his phone, answering your questions, not looking at you. Yes, he is a bit of a jerk. Earl, you are the man, and you're going to win a prize. Pat, what does Earl win?
Earl is going to win a $25 NBA store gift card.
Very good,
nice.
Earl. Good job.
Thanks, guys.
Good job, Earl. I love that. And that's an understated name.
Earl. Strong.
It's a strong man's name.
Yeah.
But it's a name that you don't hear.
Not a ton of.
You don't hear that.
That's the first Earl that comes to the name, or mind.
Earl the Pearl Washington.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Nelson.
What's your Mount Rushmore of Earls?
Not in the show. Put it on the poll question.
All right, Nelson.
Nelson in Philadelphia joins us.
Nelson.
What's going on, guys?
Nelson.
The name I'm going to give you is Mike Keenan. Did John drop the name Mike Keenan in the month of March?
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, let's find out.
That name was not dropped.
You did it.
What? You tricked him.
You dropped it in February, and you've already dropped it today. So there's a precursor for next month.
Nelson.
You did not take
Nelson.
You gave it up for
Nelson,
Lent.
That was a trick question
Nelson
on
Egan
you, Nelson.
Screwed you, didn't
he? Yeah, he really did.
Yeah. What a loser.
He did. We'll put you on hold. Guess what? I want you put on hold, and I want Connor to send you something, even if it's a
We'll give him a digital download of Wonder Woman.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, you get the Wonder Woman digital download.
I did mess with him.
All right, get on the line. 610-632-0975. We all nodded our head thinking.
I thought for sure. Yeah.
How about
you gave it up for Lent?
We're living here in Levittown. James is on the Fanatic. James, say hello to Pat.
What's going on, Pat?
All right, James. The name I'm going to give you is Lou Diamond Phillips. Did John drop the name Lou Diamond Phillips? Bonus point. Did he call him Louie? Yes or no?
I'm going to say yes.
All right, let's find out.
That name was not dropped.
Oh. I'm sorry.
James, he got you, too. We're going to get you that digital download of Wonder Woman.
It was so random that I thought for a second you did, and I missed it.
Now, the strange thing is, Pat, Lou Diamond Phillips is on absolutely one of my favorite television shows right now on TV.
What?
He is on a show called Prodigal Son.
I've heard of that.
That is on Fox, and it is a fantastic watch. Yeah?
What's his best-known piece of work?
La Bamba.
La Bamba.
Yeah?
Probably.
Gotta be, right?
I mean, he did a few.
That airplane movie with Iron Eagle.
But he was in those 80s crowds. But he's in a show with Jesus from The Walking Dead.
Jim Caviezel.
The guy who was Jesus on The Walking Dead. JD in Southampton joins us. By the way, we heard that was somebody's favorite gig this week. JD in Southampton, welcome to the Fanatic on Name Dropper. How are you, buddy?
Hi, John. How you doing?
Good, man.
All right, JD, did John drop the name Jim Caviezel in March? Did John drop the name Jim Caviezel?
What, the actor?
Yep. Did he drop that name?
I don't remember him dropping that name. I'll say no.
That name was not
good
dropped.
Good job, JD!
Way to go, JD.
JD, he's getting tricky with this game,
yeah.
Isn't he?
JD, you're gonna win a $25 Amazon gift card, so good job sniffing that out.
Good job, JD.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
And thanks for listening so intently.
You got a little cheeky with that
one. You're getting a little...
I'm feeling myself.
You're being a bit of a D today.
I kind of like it. You got to be a little tough. Way to go, Pat.
I'm giving these are good prizes.
Bob, I think he's just being a bit of a D.
Well, he always is a bit of a D, but you know.
Here's Ron in the Northeast. Ron, welcome to the Fanatic. How are you, brother?
Good morning. How you doing?
Good, man.
I'm the guy that makes the cores I sent you.
Oh, you're awesome.
Oh, thank you very much.
Good job, Ron.
All right. I'm going to give you the name. Larry Fitzgerald. Did John drop the name Larry Fitzgerald in the month of March?
I'm going to say no.
All right, let's find out.
That name was dropped.
Oh, Ron, we're gonna get you the digital download. I know, Pat. I know why he's doing that.
What do you mean? Why he's doing that?
I know why Larry Fitzgerald's name was dropped.
Yeah, because you said it. Here it is.
Just be quiet.
What would Larry Fitzgerald do? Seen and not heard ever.
Mm-hmm. No, he's heard. Remember I had the hotel room next to him?
Oh, right.
Blasting his music when he's in the shower. Like so loud that other people could hear it. And Larry Fitzgerald's a legend. So you're not supposed to complain.
No.
So when I saw him on the radio row, then I complained.
What did he say?
Oh, I did do that.
And what did
he? Because you're in the next room, really? He goes, what's your room? And I gave the number, and he goes, you are in the next room. But I called him out for it. He's such a gracious gentleman and a very, very good guy. He's a spectacular person.
He's a great
person.
Guy.
All right, go one more, Pat.
Yeah, one more, and then Connor grab that for next month.
All right, Scott in Quakertown. Welcome to the Fanatic.
How you doing?
Good, Scotty. What's up, buddy?
Not much.
All right, Scott, the name I'm going to give you is Andrew Ridgely, a.k.a. the other guy from Wham. Andrew Ridgely, the other guy from Wham. Did he drop that name?
No.
All right, let's find out.
That name was not dropped.
Oh, I'm shocked. Good job, Scotty.
Way to go, Scott.
Scott, I got that one wrong in my own, and it's the show I do. And I got that wrong.
That tells you a lot about yourself, John. But Scott's going to win a $25 digital Amex code.
There you go, Scott. How about that? Good deal there.
All right.
Spend it, man. Thank you so much for being a part of the show.
Now, the best part about this whole game, in my opinion, is we find out all the names that Kincaid dropped. Let's take a listen.
As an old month concludes and a new month begins, let's take a look back fondly at all the names that were dropped last month.
I had a little exchange with Brian Westbrook, by the way. I've heard Doug Godley, Ron McGill.
Ron McGill.
Jeff Francoeur, when he started his broadcast career, he would come on. Let your love pass you by. Even though my buddy RJ Bell, that is an homage to my buddy Nick Cellini. Todd Graffinini, the voice of the New Orleans Pelicans, a good buddy of mine. The Elk shoes, I have them in my closet, though, personally given to me by Tom Brady. People are always like, why are you always jumping Florio on social media? I said, I've known Mike for like 20 years. Just be quiet.
What would Larry Fitzgerald do?
Remember I had the hotel room next door?
Oh, right.
Fred Blankenship, a buddy of mine.
Plus, Pat Riley, Annika Sorenstam, Desmond Howard, Mike Francesa, Larry Fitzgerald, Bobby Hebert, Eric Hinsky, Mike Vick, Chris Mortensen, Gary Carter, the ghost of Whitney Houston, Ralph Sampson, Bo Bow Wow. We pour one out for all those names that were dropped. And for the ones who will be dropped soon.
The ghost of Whitney actually came up.
It's a great story.
Yeah. Good job, Patrick.
Very good, Pat.
That's awesome.
Pat, that is exceptional.
John, you keep being you.
All I see is you.
Don't change because we'll need to come up with another game.
So I have to say resist the urge. So I ignore that advice. Resist the urge to be you. I resist that. I have not. That is one thing that, and Bob, it's weird that you say that here because that is something that Steven is very proud of me for. He goes, I'm proud of you that you don't mind getting mocked. And that you also have not changed your ways. So Egan will have plenty more for the April edition. So there we go. Good job, guys.
There's probably four or five from
Pat,
today.
You're Pat, that was an excellent job. Ron McGill, though.
Yeah.
Of all the odds of Ron McGill
being Todd Graffinini never.
Do you know Ron McGill?
I have no idea who Ron McGill is, but I wrote
Ron
it down.
McGill? I know the name, but I don't know.
Ron McGill? Legendary tennis coach at Georgia.
Oh, then I don't know the name.
Like, what the hell?
Todd Graffinini's his brand is growing here in Philly.
Hey, Graff, and he's like, he goes, dude, when the Pelicans come to town, we're coming to town. He goes, like, you know, it's just, I got to make it.
He's sending you like a free dinner every month for all this.
I said, Graff is going to one of the most joyous people in broadcasting. So he'll join us.
That's high praise from you, being as joyous as your favorite word.
He is. Joyous is my favorite word. He's joyous. He's joyous because he's another grinder who worked his way from being intern to part-time to full-time.
Okay.
To then getting a dream job. And he didn't get the Saints play-by-play job. And the day he was up for the Saints play-by-play job.
Right.
The Saints idiotically went with an ex-player who'd never done play-by-play. It crashed and burned. Crashed and burned. Horrible decision.
Mm.
But they passed on him, and then the New Orleans Pelicans hired him. And the day he didn't get the Saints job, I said to him, something good's happening for you. Your talent, it's come happening for you. And it did. There you go.
Pat every day.
Let's go to Cooney's Corner, where something good always happens. But this brought a smile to my face.
Now, let's see what's in Cooney's Corner.
It's happening. It's happening on Saturday. This 7'2" monster of a man is going to return to the basketball court.
Oh, I'm so excited.
For your Philadelphia 76ers.
Well, they're not in first place anymore, so good
first
time
of
for
all,
it.
I ain't no bitch.
Wow.
Well, they.
Aren't you a Debbie Downer?
Just saying, they're not in first since the first time since January 17th.
They're
good time
half
for them.
Game out.
Yeah, good time for him to return.
I thought this was a positive test.
It is positive. It's fine.
Well,
good, Bob.
How about they'll be back in first by Monday?
Yeah, there you go. That's where I was getting. Okay.
See,
but he might not play on Sunday.
Well, that's the question, and we kind of hit on this before about exactly how does Doc Rivers handle the rest of this season as far as the players go. I said to you, I think Danny Green's going to need some time off and all that, but Joel Embiid is set to return Saturday. They play tonight in Cleveland, and then they play at home on Saturday against Minnesota. The tough part is, and John will be there with his daughter Olivia.
Her first Sixers game.
Your first sporting event of the year, right?
A Braves
spring training, yes. But that was like a year ago.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's pretty exciting.
First.
Yeah.
You don't know the excitement that I've got for this.
No, I can imagine.
If the girls were not coming in on a flight this afternoon, I would be at Citizens Bank Park in the stands. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, how do you handle it? How would you guys go about it? You bring Joel back on Saturday, the 3rd. It's against Minnesota. Ideal situation in my mind, blowout. He gets 24 minutes, gets his legs underneath of him, whatever it may be. But let's go with close game, tough game, because it is your first game back from a tough West Coast trip, and those are always tough games. He's got to go 30 minutes. You might, if there's no minute restrictions on him, he plays a normal game. Then you have a game against Sunday at home against Memphis.
Against Memphis, though.
Yeah, and then you go on a 4-game road trip. So I ask you guys, how are you handling Joel Embiid right off the bat?
I am hoping for the scenario where I can get him out of there on Saturday night early, and that he'll be able to be used for minutes on Sunday night. But I'm playing to win the game Saturday. Sunday night be damned. I'm worried about Saturday night.
Okay.
Get that win. And if I can hope, if he could play 20 minutes Saturday night, 22, I'd play him some on Sunday.
Yeah, I think it all depends on how his knee responds after Saturday. I hate to say you judge it on the pre-court workout and how he's feeling Sunday. But it's a bone bruise, you know, something could get
This is what I don't understand.
I've never had the bone bruise, so I can't relate to it.
The bone bruise heals, and I read about it last night because I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah.
The bone bruise heals. The only way you can't re-aggravate a bone bruise.
No, it heals, and that's it.
Yeah.
So there's no such thing as this injury being re-aggravated.
I feel like
a bone bruise
could be something.
No, a bone bruise.
Not saying he'll bruise it again.
Hey, is WebMD lying?
Yes.
No, they don't lie.
Don't go there.
By the head of WebMD?
Yeah.
O'Hara grad.
Good for him. I'm sure he's
O'Hara?
Very
good. Yeah, O'Hara grad.
I've heard of it.
Yeah,
so I gauge how he is on Sunday. I probably, if he's okay, I give him 20 to 24 minutes on Sunday.
So you would go 20 to 24 two nights in a row? Because I wouldn't.
if I need him to play through some stuff, okay. and if he's up for it and he feels good, yeah, play.
Well, he's not going to feel it. There's going to be general soreness.
There's going to be, yes, that's my
okay,
point.
General soreness is not having played in 2.5 weeks.
Or the face that Bob makes in meetings.
Yeah. No, general soreness.
General soreness.
This is wrong. I love our meetings.
General soreness.
Yeah, right.
I do.
That constipated look on your face.
So it's interesting. Back to back, and then you go at Boston, at New Orleans, at Oklahoma City, at Dallas.
I've changed my mind. He's sitting Sunday and one time on that road trip.
And look, you play Sunday
one
at home.
One time on the road trip?
Yeah.
Whoa, really?
What are you doing?
Once?
Playoffs are what matter.
Yeah, but wait a minute.
Playoffs? See, this is why I asked this question.
No. You cannot throw away the one seed. You're throwing away the one seed.
I'm okay with the two. I don't think it's the end of the world.
The second round series.
I need him geared up for the playoff. Like, if he...
Wow.
Even a hesitation of, it doesn't feel great. Oof. You're sitting.
All right, so here's what I would do. I go Saturday, full bore.
Yes, I agree.
You go Saturday. No matter what, you're out Sunday to me.
So no matter what.
I think I've shifted.
So then I go Tuesday at Boston. JoJo, you're a go-go. He's going on Tuesday. You're off until Friday down in New Orleans.
Okay.
You're a go again.
Yeah.
Saturday, you're in Oklahoma City.
You're off that game.
You might be off that game because then you can play Friday and then you would be off, meaning Joel Embiid would be off until Monday at Dallas.
Yeah, OKC, you should be able to handle.
You know, your plan works, Bob.
I think that's the way I would go.
It works. You can, at some point, though, take the freaking training wheels off. You cannot aggravate. Gentlemen here, just jumping in right now. Doctor, you cannot re-aggravate a bone bruise.
I think I'm just talking more general soreness. And
yes, it's going to be general soreness.
Yeah.
And yeah, like Bob's face in a meeting. It'll be he has to fight through
well,
it.
See, Ricky Bo will be on my side on this because
he won't.
Yes, he will.
He's going to know
how
that.
How can
have
you
that
tell
face?
I have a sour face when I have a mask on?
Bob.
And I blame you, D'Amico.
Whoa.
I blame our boss.
He just went last name with the boss.
You can't read my eyes. That's not true.
I'm going to tell you this. When everybody votes it one way,
it's true,
you've lost the vote. Maybe you just have to poo before
I think
meetings.
Egan's on my side. He knows that I'm not sour in meetings.
We got a lot of stuff coming your way. By the way, Sixers and the Cavs tonight at 7 o'clock here on the Fanatic. There was always designed to be a fifth chair. There was always designed to be that chair where we would welcome in extended members of the John Kincaid Show family, and we found the first, and we will do it next. It's the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5, The Fanatic. Steven Singer has got some news for you guys. There's a brand new rose color that he's offering for you for Mother's Day right around the corner, and Steven's got your back. His famous real roses dipped and trimmed in 24-karat gold now come in sunshine yellow. That is the Mother's Day color, and it is beautiful, and it sparkles, and it's got just a yellow glow that is going to make mom smile. Steven has made his business in the love business. This past year, we've seen how everyone needs a little more love, and when Christina and Olivia got their Mother's Day, their roses for Valentine's Day, they loved it. Now for Mother's Day, my wife wants a collection. It is a win. It is a beautiful rose, sunshine that's going to last a lifetime, and you're going to love it because you'll be supporting local restaurants too as Steven Singer continues to care about his community, catering to first responders and hospital heroes by catering in their lunch. It's awesome. You can't go wrong. You're doing good and you're giving a great gift. They all come with a lifetime guarantee, a free personalized gift message and more, fast and free shipping. Simply say, I love you, or honor mom on Mother's Day. Just go to IHateStevenSinger.com and tell them Kincaid sent you.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
And the 9 o'clock hour of the John Kincaid Show is brought to you by The Bagster. It's a dumpster in a bag, and you can get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. If you want details, go to bagster.com. I will tell you as we start this hour of the John Kincaid Show here. We get rolling. When this show was being formulated in my brain, I always told management I wanted a fifth chair. I want like MVP level talent who becomes part of our family. Someone who can come and go, can bring us insights, some laughs, and some hard opinions, but having to fit in with our crew. I tossed out to the John Kincaid Show family here who was the person we would need because baseball season was the first one to want to reach out to. And in unison, Cooney, Lynch, Egan all said one name, Ricky Pitalico. You've loved him as an entertaining voice of Phillies baseball. And everyone around this station was so excited to hear that Ricky Bowe would be a regular part of our family every single Thursday at this time. Ricky, welcome into the John Kincaid Show. We
Thank
are thrilled
you.
To have
Ricky
you.
Ricky Bowe in the house.
So excited to have
By the way, you who was clapping right there? There was
I clapped,
one, there was
I clapped
one person.
To,
no,
I
Thanks
clapped
a lot,
to.
Guys.
No, I'm excited.
Thank you.
I was clapping right here.
I will tell you this. Ricky,
I didn't clap.
Ricky,
no,
there,
of
are so,
you didn't.
There are so few people. How about this? There are so few ex-athletes who have went through media circles.
Yeah.
Where you would get three guys on the same show to all say, that's the one guy. They all unanimously said you.
Well, I appreciate that, guys. Especially from Jamie. I'm a little shocked.
Yeah, I was there when Ricky got his start on radio, man. Yeah. We go way back.
Way back.
See? So
Wait,
there's...
Ricky was an athlete?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Now, that'll be a discussion for another day.
All-star, John. Not just
day.
An athlete.
Yes, he was.
My man was an all-star in 1996.
I would tell you, though, Rick, is that being the... I would hate it when if you've ever... And I bet your parents in Connecticut had this. When you have the dish, so you can watch. I watched Phillies games in the South for 20 some years. And if it was sometimes whether there'd be a rain delay or sometimes whether they would go late to cutting off the feed, I would get to see some of your rants.
Oh, I definitely ranted.
And but the thing is, the
last
thing
year
is,
was
though,
classic.
That's to me is there's one word that I always thought about you, integrity.
Yeah.
Because so many people, I think, want to have the gig that they're not willing to speak their minds.
It's to me, it's not about having a gig or being on the TV. It's bringing out what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling. That's really what I do on TV. I just, if there's something that I want said, we'll be in the newsroom and you watch a game, you know, there's three or four people around and you're like, I want that on. We got to cut that. We got to lay that down. And then you keep that thought. You keep that almost, I know a lot of people call me Angry Ricky. I've heard that before. But you always have to keep that thought. Because if you lose the thought, then you lose the passion for it.
You know why they call you angry, though?
Because I get angry.
You get angry a little bit, but also, though, and Jamie, I think it's one of the best things about him is the fact is so many guys, and I call it out, and I've called it out locally here since I've been home, they shill for the team that they're working with or they're covering. And I don't like that. I think it's ridiculous. I think you're being paid. I'm paying Ricky Pitalico for insight. I want to hear stuff that I don't know. And as a fan at home, fans want to hear your insights. And they want to hear the real story.
Yeah, well, obviously you want them to win. But, I mean, I don't know if Jamie saw me pitch. But when I used to pitch.
I did.
If I used to pitch, and you could ask any reporter that used to cover us. If you came into that locker room and I had a bad game, you're not getting a question in because I'm going to bury myself before you get the chance to. And I thought that was the right way to do it because that's how I was feeling inside. I didn't, you know what? I knew what kind of questions I was going to get. So I just figured I'll just lay it out there and be that guy.
You take
it makes
the,
it easier on yourself.
Take the weapon out of their hands and use it on yourself first.
Well, there's a lot of shielding that goes on these days. I mean,
I don't
mean it like in a bad way. It's just the way the game has evolved. There's a lot of shielding of players. There's a lot of shielding of bad information or bad thoughts about a player. But you know what? Sometimes you just got to say what you're feeling.
And that's always a good way to go because you never have to rethink what you said because what you said is the truth, what you believe to be the truth. So it's not... I'm saying things because the company needs it. Ricky has the ability to say because he was a player. That's exactly why he's here, and that's why we love having him. What you say is what you feel, and you've been a part of the game all the time. If people like it or don't, that's on them.
Well, the one thing is I'm not blasting a personal part of the player.
That's not
what it's about to me. It's about where did you mess up on the field. You know, you could bring up players, and... You could look at a player for two or three games and know what his baseball IQ is. just by watching what he does on the field, his movements on the field. Is he picking dandelions out in the outfield? Is he kind of doing circles? Is he waving to the other team and playing with the other team? You know baseball IQs at that point.
I like that. See, now that's insight, right? That's insight.
Well,
right
that's
there.
Why I think Ricky's so great in the studios, because he gives you the insight of the former player, but he speaks as though he's a fan, which I think deep down you are, but you're
an
analyst.
First? What do you first?
The passion
now?
Comes out as a as he speaks for me a lot of times.
I would say analyst. I mean, but I feel like analyst looking at it from the seats. How's that?
Okay.
That's the
okay.
way I try to be.
And that's what comes across. And I think that's why people resonate with you.
See, I never. But
resonate?
Yeah.
Or resonate.
Resonate. Did I say
that? Resonate.
There's
another
G in
name
there.
For the book.
Jeez.
By the way, we have a new game, Pat.
Mispronounced Jamie
game.
Words?
Yeah. Jamie words. What was Jamie?
Resonates.
We put the word out, and then what is Jamie actually thinking?
I think I combined resigns and resonates there and came up with a new word.
He just signed with us. We don't want him to resonate.
Don't resign yet, Rick.
Don't do that. Which is really, really good. It's so good to be able to have it, though, because this Phillies team, we're all in the same boat. We sealed in an envelope the amount of wins that we think this team's going to get this year. We sealed it away, and we'll open it up after the season. We all, though, appear to be in the same ballpark as the thinking this team's good, but potentially not great. Your gut instinct going into opening day.
I think you really kind of hit that on the head, because if the bullpen does well, and
can't be worse.
I know. I heard John yesterday say we don't want to talk about last year because you can't really compare it. Because if it's worse than last year,
exactly,
I'll be in the hospital.
I mean, look, if this bullpen doesn't improve by two run an ERA by two runs, if they don't improve by two runs, then I mean it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I look at this offense is going to score runs. All agree.
No question.
We all agree with that. And every offense is going to go in slumps. That's where you need starting pitching to pick you up. I think they have a very strong starting three, and I think they have an adequate, remember that word, adequate, 4 and 5.
You said very, very strong starting three.
I think they do.
I'm pushing against you.
You have very problems with Nola, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
And here's my problem
Eflin.
With Aaron
I think
Nola.
He's a great two.
I have no problem with Eflin, which is completely different.
I think he's a great two.
Yeah, see, the three
I think
Nola.
I think Nola should be number two.
I think he's a great two.
Yes,
I think Zach
he
Wheeler,
is.
There's
he
my,
is.
Zach, if we're assuming health, I think Zach Wheeler's the better major league pitcher.
See, to me, you better watch Nola's innings this year. Because look at what has happened in the last 2 years. A collapse in September and a collapse in September last year. But
Semi.
I mean, but he's not the same guy as middle of the season. He's great. Sometimes at the beginning,
July,
you never know what you're going to get.
Right,
and then
right.
he kind of straightens himself out, and he gets back into that 2 ERA scheme. And then all of a sudden, you know, a couple bumps in the road at the end. And all of a sudden,
well, how do you manage
innings? What is wrong with it? It's not about managing the innings. I think it's about if you're up 6-1 going into the seventh inning, you have a bullpen that should be able to finish that game out.
What first? Here's what I would ask you. What contender is worried about their pitcher pitching into the seventh inning of a first or second starter in the rotation?
See where you're going.
To me, it's ridiculous, and it's one of the reasons why I think Aaron Nola was a guy who was pitched to this market as an ace, and I don't see him as an ace.
But I'm not worried about him going into the seventh. It's just what I would do at this point in time. I would lengthen him out. Like, if you come to August, then you start letting him play a little bit.
Right.
But I think early on in the season, I'm talking like an opening day. And I'm not talking about the Kapler thing a couple of years ago, because that was
opening day,
in Atlanta.
And I was in the building.
68
I'm watching that in the building.
Yo, I was banging my head on a desk.
That
at
was
that
insane.
Point. That was horrible.
I was getting abused by like 30,000 people, though, abusing me, laughing at
were
me.
You wouldn't have happened been at all
was,
of those games.
I was
were you?
I was at like every almost every single one.
When
of
he
them.
Brought in the reliever
yes.
without anybody warming up,
that was terrible.
Oh God.
That was so terrible.
I forgot about
being serious.
But I said it though, Ricky. I said it though. From the day Kapler was hired, and I've got the social media to prove it. I said this will be he's a freaking disaster. He is a shtick machine. He is shtick. He is catchphrases. He is motivational. I don't think the baseball IQ was there.
Oh,
and it wasn't. It wasn't there.
It was about his books.
Yes.
And what the book told him to do.
And coconut oil.
I don't know.
The minute he started talking about that crap,
oh, the
I'm
coconut
like,
oil.
He's a bizarre individual.
Well, we're going to play hard.
Yes. And I don't want, and guess what? Joe Girardi, I guarantee you this, Joe Girardi is not getting his eyebrows waxed.
No.
During a homestand.
Joe's no joke. I will tell you this much. Joe knows his baseball, obviously.
Yeah.
And if you've managed the New York Yankees, I don't care if you're the worst manager in Yankee history, you know what you're doing. This guy knows analytics, but he also knows that there's a person. Gun. Well, there's a person on the field.
Sure. There's a feel for the game
right. That
you have to have.
And that is something that was 100%. And by the way, that's what put me on a firework to take off, what was that whole Gabe Kapler situation. He never should have been here in the first
then
place.
Then why all the binders with Joe? I hear that from you, and guess what?
Oh,
you know a hell of a lot more about it than I do, but I brought it up yesterday. I've watched a guy like Brian Snicker for years, right. Up close and personal. A guy who doesn't, he hears, the analytics are, he takes them into consideration, everything, but in a game, he's not going to binders.
But Joe's the same way. I mean, let's face it. You're not using all that information in the binder.
I don't even want to see them.
But
during a game.
It basically says about every player. It has information. I mean, maybe there's something he needs to look up. He's not looking in it 24/7.
No, he's not. But it's an open. Look, it's a difference between an open book test and a test you've studied for. And I expect you only have to know the 27.
I don't think he needs the book.
Then why is it there?
Maybe it's just to appease
everybody.
I don't think
it's
appeasing.
Do you believe
the younger generation? They need to see that he's studying.
Do you believe that Dave Dombrowski will allow his manager to make out the lineup card every day?
Yes.
That's another thing I only need to hear, because I've been told that wasn't the case.
I don't know. I think Girardi would say I'm out of here if he did that. Come on, think about it. Joe's been around a long time.
I would hope so. I
would
hope so, yeah.
I think Joe would be like, go get yourself another manager. I'm not a puppet.
Jamie seems very... Are you the most optimistic of us, or is Egan?
I think we're all pretty much right there.
But you think this team, in a five-team playoff field, which is going to be two wild cards...
I think absolute best-case scenario is they win 90 games.
That is a best case. But where does 80, let's say this, where does 86 put
doesn't
you
get
in,
you?
You don't
doesn't
know
get
that.
Doesn't get you, not even close. Yes,
I'm talking about the NL East.
If the NL East beats itself up.
Yeah,
here's what I'm thinking
is going to happen.
86 wins does not get you the second wild card ever. Ever.
Could it win you the division?
What's your number?
Oh,
this is going to be a black and blue division.
This is really? The best division in baseball.
Ricky.
Yeah.
I will say this much. The Phillies better show up for the first 13 games.
Yeah.
You don't believe.
It could be gone right there.
Or you could be buried. Now, they only tell you this. I believe there would be two nines put up in the division. Two 90 plus teams.
So you're telling me that the bottom two teams are going to be in the 70s.
Not necessarily. I think there's going to be a central division where you're going to have four teams in the 70 losses. Maybe three teams in the 70 losses.
Wow.
Three teams in the 70 losses in the central.
All right, the central, but the West is the problem. Right?
San Diego's got one of the seats, and the Dodgers have one of the seats.
Right.
So right now you're fighting for two seats.
Cubs or Cardinals.
You finish it first or you finish in second.
Okay.
It's the only way you're making the postseason now.
Right, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be a fight. It's not going to be, I don't think it's as simply drawn out as we think by any of the teams. I'm not even going to go there because I called them bottom feeders last year.
You mean the team that made the postseason?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Didn't we open the door?
I mean, seriously.
We kind of opened the door and drove the limo for them.
Well, what was hilarious was everyone saying, well, the Phillies got disrupted by that week off, so that really disrupted their season. And I heard Phillies beat writers write that.
I thought they probably did.
The Marlins had the same week off, and they made the postseason. That's ridiculous.
Well, because they just sat in their hotels and rested.
Well, you know what? By the way, it was a steakhouse. And I can tell this story now. There were a lot of stories. The Marlins, it was a steakhouse. I tracked the whole story down. It was in the town that I was working in. The Marlins went to a steakhouse out of protocol. And that was that's what they did to break protocol. They went to a steakhouse because there was a lot of stories that they were to strip
club. So they were out, though.
They were out, and they were out not intelligently.
That doesn't surprise me.
And that's what it was. But it was a steakhouse that they went to. And it's, I think, seven guys.
Okay.
Seven guys. We had seven names that we were able to name six of them. And then, but they brought it back to everybody.
And that's when it was really kind of popping up everywhere.
Yeah.
Exactly,
they weren't being smart.
By the way, I think that's why I was fierce at them that night. I mean,
pissed.
I was mad that the Phillies weren't going to play.
Yes.
That, To me, if I'm on the Phillies at that point, I want to bury that team.
Yeah, and look, they can't do what they did last year versus the Marlins if they have any hopes of making the last few years.
It's
the last couple
years. You said that opening day, 19, 20, 21.
It's every year.
I know. It's unbelievable.
Okay, give me an explanation for that, Rick.
There is none. I mean, if it's that simple, I could just say, well, you know what? The starting pitching doesn't get it done. Maybe it's a lapse. I mean, that's a mental lapse is the only thing I could think of because you're a better team than them.
All right, here's an example for you. Who did you have real good success against? A big name player. Barry Bonds. Ricky Pitalico owned Barry Bonds. This is my point. I brought up in basketball before
baseball.
Bottom
feeder? Thank you.
No. For some reason, there's a mental thing. Barry Bonds couldn't get it done against you. You were in his head.
Yeah.
For some reason, there's a mental thing in sports that you just can't explain. Why do the Marlins beat up on the Phillies? Why could the Sixers not win on the road last year? It's just
here's a mental thing. Here's what I'm going to say to counter that. You can't show me the team that does that 2 or 3 years in a row to the Braves.
I agree. That's
the mark of a good team.
You can't show me that. That's an odd thing. So I wonder what's the identity. Okay, tell me more.
Find your identity. You have to make sure that when you walk into whatever their field's called, that Marlins Park, you have to think that you're going to win every time in. And when they come here, you have to think that you're going to bury them every time in. I think the Marlins have put something in the back of the Phillies' heads.
Exactly.
That when they come in, man, this isn't going to be as easy as we think it should be.
What is the identity word, or do they have one, for the 2021 Phillies on opening day, in your opinion? Doesn't have to be a word. It could be a word. Do you believe they have one?
Stand tall, I think it should be. And then the reason why I say that is because everybody...
Pat, we're sorry about that. Ricky's being very hostile.
Everybody...
He's standing tall.
I'm on some phone books, too.
Well, he's standing tall right now.
Is he short?
He's 5'4", but no, we got a nice podium.
You didn't notice because you didn't look down.
My gosh.
Oh, that's right.
You shouldn't be hostile on day one. That's not really good.
Stand tall in the sense that you have to be the guy that's
believe
above
you're good.
Everybody else. Believe you're good. I mean, that's what it's all about. When I faced Bonds, you brought that up, this perfect situation. I really felt that I had the edge. Even when he's hitting these home runs and pointing that needle into his butt
because
all the time.
Because of the success.
But it wasn't
for more of that.
It wasn't because of the success. I think early on I was like, I know I'm the underdog going against this guy, but I'm going to stick it to him. And then boom, boom, boom.
Not the needle in his butt. You never did that.
No.
Just trying to verify.
Very nicely done on your part. No, that was very good on your part, though.
Just trying to verify. You said stick it to him.
But my whole thing was, how do you get that edge? Bob's seen me pitch a lot. I would throw inside a lot against him. He didn't like it, but I kept doing it. And you know what? When you continue to do something, it's always on their mind. Get that mental edge.
Should Major League Baseball players? If I was commissioner for a day, and I'd have a lot of rules that I want to impose.
I don't know if I want you in that
the
job.
The Fugazi 7-inning doubleheaders, I want out. But I would say no body armor.
Oh, I agree with that. I don't care about
it. Yeah. That would be day one. That would be my thing.
By the way,
I
don't care about a little pad, but not this.
Not the armor. No body armor. You can have a small pad.
It should not be bigger. Like a tenth of an inch.
Like a goalie
form
equipment
fitting.
Can only be a certain
That's part thing. Of the problem with baseball right now. That's why these balls are
guys aren't afraid.
That would be my day one. Day one. Body armor goes and makes the game a more even matchup.
Light pads are okay. Body armor's gone.
Right. No more of those clanky...
All right, I don't hate that. It's not bad for your first job.
That would be my thing. So on day one, I'd get to come back, Bob?
I would say from knees down, or knees up, you have to have form fitting.
Ankles are fine.
Ankles are fine.
That's why he would be your assistant.
Yeah.
Because he'd be the ball catcher.
Ricky, I got to tell you, Bob has actually made me change in 3 months of knowing Bob every day. I just credited him again today. He got me to, I'm a guy who can, I have a list. And I got a list. And I'll tell you, I'll grind you. You get on my list and I will grind you to a nub.
Am I on that list yet?
No, not at all. We'll find out. But Bob convinced me that.
You know what? You just made the list.
That the list can be exhausting. And if someone doesn't deserve to be on there, you're just expounding all the energy and it's exhausting. So I am actually like.
Man, you got a little spinner in your head, don't you?
Rick, I've grown up since me and you just hung out and drank beers together.
Do you ever watch The Big Bang
Theory? Yes, I do.
They call me Sheldon.
Oh, boy.
They're like, yeah. So we're going to have some fun.
I'm out of here.
And there will be times that you just want to kill me.
You're only an hour a week, dude.
You got to do this every day.
I mean, you'll be allowed to kill me, you know, and it'll be fun. But we're going to have a lot of good interaction and everything like that. We got lots to talk about regarding the 2021 Phillies. And
I also, John, I want to get his thoughts on the strike zone, the automated strike zone, because I haven't heard it yet.
I can't wait to hear about this. So we have so much fun. Ricky Pitalico, now part of the John Kincaid Show family, every single Thursday. And we are wandering, by the way, Ricky. You were told that, right?
Yep.
We're going to wander into other topics, too.
That, you can go wherever you want. You want to talk Flyers? I'm right there.
All-state football player over there. Baseball. Hartford Whalers, he's got you.
That's right. That's my ringtone.
Little Brass Bonanza?
Yeah.
You have a Brass Bonanza ringtone?
I believe it is, yes.
That is my hockey teams here in Philly when I coached, that's what we came out to. We had
really?
Brass, and when we scored a goal, Brass Bonanza.
Oh,
and it drove the...
No one cares.
Drove LaSalle crazy. Yes. It's the Ricky Pitalico joining in with the entire John Kincaid Show family here on 97.5 The Fanatic. It is the best time of the year right now. You're gambling. You're gambling right in the palm of your hand. You're using the Parx Casino Sportsbook app. It's absolutely awesome. So I'm watching a game, and I'm maneuvering how I think the second half's going to go based on my personal expertise. If you see my balance, the personal expertise comes and goes from night to night. But you know what? It engages. It's fun. It's exciting. And the Parx Casino Sportsbook app is welcoming you into the family right now with a $500 risk-free bet when you go to parxcasino.com and use the promo code FANATIC. If you love fantasy sports, you will love the in-game wagering. It's absolutely amazing. And right now, too, you want to make some futures bets? Baseball today, the season's beginning. So you want to get in, you test your expertise. We put our numbers in an envelope. Put your number in the Parx Casino Sportsbook app and make yourself some cash. It is a fantastic time. You'll have a lot of fun with it. And I love the in-game wagering. It's Parx Casino Sportsbook app. You got to be 21 in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back to the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Check out NBC's Law & Order Organized Crime tonight. After 10 years, Stabler's coming home. Christopher Merlone returns in Law & Order Organized Crime. It premieres after Law & Order SVU tonight, a crossover event tonight on NBC. And guest starring on the John Kincaid Show every single Thursday at 9 a.m., Ricky Pitalico.
Would I be called a guest star anymore?
No, you would be. Your name would come, though. You'd get like the and Ricky,
with,
and
or Ricky with.
At the end of the credits when it's like in the first scene.
That's always good.
And it would say and Ricky Pitalico.
As himself.
Which is a great
as
spot
himself,
to be.
Man.
Great spot to be. That's, nice. That's where you'd want it to be. And we want you to be yourself here. You said you can wander too, right? You can wander.
Wander wherever you want.
Okay, you can wander with these things. Said is the, you know, because trying to figure
out. You want to wander real quick? Ricky, yes. Would you ever buy a vagina candle for your house?
I don't want to wander there.
Okay. We're getting limitations.
Limitations, yes.
But why would you? It would melt.
I don't know. Well, yeah, it does melt. It does get warm.
Wouldn't it melt too quick?
And it gets waxy.
So basically.
And it gets waxy.
There is moisture.
Turns into a regular camera after first use.
That's really, you don't want
to. So there you go, John. Ricky can wander.
I said yesterday, and I got, and I always say this, what we've learned is that we will talk about sports, talk about the Phillies, talk about the Flyers, talk about the Sixers, and we will go off on topics, stories will come up. And that's what we will get bombarded with.
Okay.
People with an opinion on that.
Makes sense.
And I had one yesterday because I said, if you're a single guy,
right,
and on your kitchen counter you have a scented candle, dude,
Guys do not do that.
Candles are good, though.
No, a candle's
good.
Wait a minute. No, wait. You may have a mood setter for the boudoir.
No.
I like a nice smell.
You are scented so candle far in the kitchen.
Yeah, I think you're. Yeah, we're all against
show
you on
a little
this
class.
One.
Let your place smell a little class. At least not like sweat.
Yeah, you don't want to smell in like a locker room.
Yeah. What?
How long were you single?
Well, I was.
What age did you get married?
I was married for 10 years. I got married when I was 28.
Okay, that's a good age to get married, right?
Yeah, I was 27.
I should never have done it. How's that? Except for I did.
What's a good age to get divorced, Rick? Yes, you do.
It's immediately
really, really good.
How's that, Bob?
By the way, we have the opening day lineup is out.
All right.
Which I like it. Let me call up mine to see.
I'm going to tell you right
now.
How about this? I will tell you right now that I'm not going to like it. I will just predict I'm not going to like it because I
just
think
just by the
he's
way
not,
you said it.
No, I think he's not going to do what I want him to do.
It's going to be the second hitter that John doesn't like.
Yep.
Quinn.
Leading off, left fielder Andrew McCutchen.
Right.
Batting second, first baseman Reese Hoskins.
What the frick? Seriously?
Batting third, right fielder Bryce Harper.
Mm-hmm.
Batting cleanup, your catcher JT Realmuto.
Mm-hmm.
Batting fifth, Alec Boehm.
I had that wrong.
That's tasty, though.
Number six, Sardini. Then you have Segura, seven, Hazley, eight, and Nola, ninth.
You can't bat Hazley ninth. I think the pitcher's got a better chance of hitting a sacrifice fly.
Oh, boy.
Getting a ball in the air to the outfield.
He's got bones to pick with Nola, Eflin, and Hazley.
Hazley hits more dribblers than anyone I've ever heard. Now it's 300.
You're talking last year, right?
No, I'm ready to start. Now, Rick, I'm ready to start fresh. But what I want to see is I want to see Adam Hazley in the first month. I want to see an outfielder having to catch it on the warning track three times.
He could go after a ball.
Okay,
I don't have a problem with him in the outfield.
I love his feeling.
I love mythology stories.
I think he can
go after a ball. I want to see it happen.
What I don't want to see at bat is Travis Lee.
Okay.
Okay, I think you guys know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
A little, I just get the job done.
Right.
I don't want to see that. I want to see a little bit more intensity.
Adam Hazley, by the way, will get no more cheap shots on me about the three dribblers. I watched enough last year. Today's a fresh start.
All right. Positivity, John.
But guess what? It will come back.
Yeah, sure.
And it will come back with a vengeance. And he gets a good month. I mean, we're talking 50, 60 at-bats to see if things have changed. I'm not going to judge him on one series.
That's fair.
I'm not going to judge him on 2 weeks.
Is it wrong I don't love Realmuto as the cleanup hitter?
I don't like it either.
Yeah.
I mean, I see what you're doing here. What are you really doing with Reese Hoskins?
I want Harper at two.
You're telling him it's okay to walk every time again. I want to see him swing the damn ball.
Why do you have a guy at...
Reese at five. I could see Boehm.
Me too.
Guess what?
You'd put Boehm four?
I could see him at two.
Rick, how about this?
Harper doesn't want to.
Just ride with me a little bit here. How about you say McCutchen, Harper, Boehm, Realmuto, Hoskins?
That works for me. I mean,
works for me.
You know what? The thing about JT, you don't love him in the four spot, but he doesn't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think he takes that and says, well, I'm the cleanup guy.
He's going to do what he does, yeah.
I think he just goes in there and takes his at-bats, and that's that.
And he's probably your most reliable hitter, too, right? So I guess you'd want that at four?
Do they really have a four?
No, they don't.
So that's why I'm fine with Alec Boehm being put into the three spot. And if you had to drop him to five or six later, I'm fine with it. Yeah, because it's. I don't believe what I saw last year is and enough people in baseball saying, man, this guy's got a clutch gene to it.
Batting fifth, though, I mean, he might have a lot of ducks on the pond out there for the taking this year.
I don't understand why Reese.
It's not a bad spot for him.
Reese Hoskins at two. Right now, I am convinced this organization has some obsession with Reese Hoskins.
Well, I mean, he has an exceptional understanding of the strike zone.
I do not believe that if every other manager in the National League East was asked to make out, had the Phillies players to think, would make out that
line. I would love to see that exercise. Other managers would do.
Let me ask Ricky this. Forget what we want Reese Hoskins to be, right?
What is he?
Yeah, if you have on paper what he is, does that equate to a pretty decent number two hole hitter that he gets on base an awful lot?
Well, because he walks, yeah.
But
my issue is, how's he getting a second?
Correct.
How's he getting a third?
There's not a lot of speed there, yeah.
No.
Correct. It's top of your lineup.
I need somebody with at least... That's why I said Alec Boehm, because he could run a little bit, and he's...
So you're switching Harper and Boehm.
I want Harper too.
Well, I think you could go a lot of different directions. I just don't think you actually have a number four hitter.
Yeah.
Per se. I guess DD would be the one guy that I would say, well, there's your four.
And you have Gregorius at sixth? He's batting sixth today?
Yeah.
That's a strong six. Yeah.
That is a really strong six. But Reese, he's first baseman. I'm sorry. To me, that's a power position. I need you to swing the bat.
He's got lead in his ass.
Yeah.
But, I mean, too, is okay. That you want that when you have lead butt, you're supposed to be hitting 3, 4, 5
you're
in a lineup,
supposed
right?
to be hitting fourth and hitting
four,
the ball
five,
or
four,
the
five, six.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I don't get it. This organization does things. And I was hoping, but this is Joe. This is on Joe. This doesn't work. This is on Joe.
Well, it's one game.
I get it.
This is not going to be the end-all, be-all lineup at this game. Might be the right guys, but it might change.
These guys both predicted it.
I thought you were going to call bozos.
No, they both. No.
Plenty of time for that.
No, they both predicted it, though. That this is exactly what he was going to do. Hoskins at two.
Yeah, I
couldn't believe it.
Love it because of his speed. Once he gets on, let's say he does walk, you need how many hits to get him in?
Seriously.
Hopefully Harper's hitting 40 this year.
Harper runs the base as well.
Yeah, really well.
Clogging it up.
And
for
Alec
him.
Bohm runs the base as well. You've now stuck an 18-wheeler in front of him.
There's not actually many guys on that team that do not run the base.
Yeah, except Reese.
And you just clogged him up by batting him second.
Yeah, it's weird.
Well could have.
I'd rather have him five than two.
Forget the extra bag, right?
Five, I'm not complaining.
Five's a great spot for him.
Five would be fine for Reese.
Especially against against the lefty. I think you put him at five. That gives you a better opportunity to get some runs quickly. Mm-hmm.
Ricky, what's the number one thing you heard on sports radio when you were a player that you would roll your eyes and say, these guys,
idiots.
What the hell are they talking about? Like there'd be some observation that you'd be hearing that you'd say, oh God, these guys don't know what the hell they're talking about.
I have no idea.
Really?
I really don't. You didn't
listen to the radio and say,
I did, and I didn't care though. I was just one of those guys who, all right, whatever, they're ripping me apart. I guess I got to take it. I already did anyway. So go ahead, get your shots in.
And that's what makes Ricky a great analyst. And I'm not kidding when I say this, because as a player, you could take it. As an analyst, you feel you can dish it out because why not? I took it. You should be able to take it.
There was one thing that really bothered me because it was a lie, and I'm not going to bring up the person that does it. He still does something here in town. But when I was playing on the 2001 team in Bowles,
separates the tea leaves.
There was a reporter out there that put my name into a article and said that I disagreed with everything Larry Bow was doing. I never said a word. As a matter of fact, I love Larry Bow. What do I give a crap sitting in the bullpen and my phone's ringing, my name comes in? What do I care who the manager is? Think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
What do I care? Unless it's abusive, that's why Francona and I had a problem because I felt like I was getting abused in the bullpen because we didn't have a freaking bullpen. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't care who the manager is, but this person railed me and said that I was one of three guys in the bullpen that has been ripping apart Larry Bow. And I went right up to Larry Bow and said, I don't dislike you. I said, as a matter of fact, you and I are good. I said, I don't know where this came from. I never said a word.
The law firm for injured workers. Ricky was injured in that case. He could have called Martin Law. Martin Law would have taken care of him. Visit paworkinjury.com. He could have sued somebody for that.
My shoulder's still shot.
Egan, you are Billy Mumphrey.
A cockeyed optimist.
You are the cockeyed optimist.
Let's go.
I want Ricky to stop you. You're only allowed to make a statement of something you believe about this Phillies team, and Ricky will stop you when he takes issue with your statement.
Oh, God.
With a statement. So give me a random statement about what you know about the 2021 Phillies, because he is the most optimistic amongst us, Ricky. You stop him when you think the statement he makes is
It has to be 100% false.
Like it's no, or just questionable.
All right.
You question it.
Adam Haseley will show why he was drafted 8th overall, and he will.
Stop. Thank you.
I mean, number one.
Thank you.
Here's number one, though.
Why'd you start with that?
What in the world does that even mean?
No.
Number 8 overall.
Whoa.
Means okay. He's a legit center fielder in Major League.
Garbage.
Take
a good look at draft picks all throughout history.
Hey, Nat was taking over Cody Bellinger.
It means that your organization didn't know their ass from a hole in the ground.
Okay, but that doesn't have anything to do with Adam Haseley, so you can't even go there to start
with. No, it does. It matters what
you
invested in.
You could have said Adam Haseley will hit, you know, 275 and blah, blah, blah. Okay, I would let you keep going, but he went to number 8 pick, and he's going to stand up. So he's telling me that he's going to hit 330, hit 40 home runs, and have 120 RBIs. That's what he just told me.
Didn't say that.
Go on.
That's how it came out.
Guess what? If you're going to be the 8th pick,
you're number 8th pick,
you're expected to be good.
Just, he's going to solidify himself.
What number was Mike Trout?
He was
10?
23.
He was in the 20s.
Mike Trout was in the 20s, so you're telling me he's better than Mike Trout, so that could stop.
You don't think he is better than Mike Trout?
By the way, every
call
since
the DEA.
I've been home for 3 months. I have already met numerous people who either struck out Mike Trout, played with Mike Trout. Every bar I've been in, I've met somebody that's like, oh yeah, I played against Trout in school. Yeah, I struck out Trout once.
He must have really sucked in high school.
But his is the name. His is the name that keeps coming up.
Before Trout, it was Porcello.
Okay, I didn't see
Rick. Everybody that I knew in college struck out Porcello or beat Porcello in high school.
Trout was 25th.
There is nothing 25th. Like now. Sal Chunas used the seam heads. Is one of his things. The seam heads. Seam heads guys are the Springsteen song Glory Days. Guys who played baseball in high school or whatever are the biggest glory. It's not football. It's the Glory Days baseball guys because they watch it and they believe that they
played big time college, they're not like that anymore because they realize how much different that becomes.
What they say is, you know, I got injured. I got injured junior year. The Red Sox were looking at me.
I get told by parents of 10 and 11 year olds that their kid's getting scouted. I hate to tell you out there, your kid's not getting scouted at 10 and 11.
They call that the Al Bundy violation.
Give me another one. Exactly. Egan, you got shot down on the first one. Your bullet ridden body's by the side of the road.
Jeez, okay.
Try again.
Well, no, you just said I'm bullet ridden body. Scott Kingery will be back up and produce.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Are you stopping him?
No, because I think Scott's going to figure. I mean, wait, what do you mean by produce, though?
He'll hit above 270.
Yeah, no, that's not happening. I mean, will he come back? Yeah, I think he'll come back. I think he'll contribute. I mean, if he gets 30 or 40 at-bats, he may have some good numbers.
Pat, now you're bleeding out.
Yeah,
the medics are there.
And then, by the way, Pat, just so you know, he has to completely change his swing back to where he was, and that's not going to be easy anymore.
Well, it worked for Markelle Fultz. You know?
Yeah, it really did, didn't it? Yeah.
You can do it.
Let's go.
You might have thoracic outlets.
Wow. Do you have another one, Pat?
Aaron Nola will finish top 3 in Cy Young.
No. I think Wheeler has a better shot to finish top 3 in NL Cy Young than Nola will.
You're starting your ace in game 2.
Fangraphs has Nola as the 9th overall best pitcher in baseball right now.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was 6 on FanDuel.
Where's Zach Wheeler?
I'd have to go back and check the list. I would imagine somewhere between 15 and 20, maybe?
Barring injury, Zach Wheeler will be the ace of the Phillies.
But here's what else happens. You usually have one guy come out of nowhere every year, right? In your top 3.
Sure, yeah.
Then you have DeGrom, so he'd have to be the next best.
And I mean, now you can't even count on Kershaw anymore because of the injuries.
Nah, he's...
count on the...
Walker Buehler's a stud.
Oh,
they have 4 or 5 over there that can go.
Yeah. Do you look at organizations like the Dodgers, like the Braves... There are copycat, they always say in the NFL it's a copycat league. How come in baseball it's not?
Because you can't. You can't do it. Look at how the Dodgers have done it. They've gone a lot of young talent, and then they've mixed in starting pitching, and they're starting pitching second to none right now. You just can't come up with that. You could say, okay, I'm going to do that. And
Dustin May's like a 5th.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what I mean?
The dude throws gas with movement, too. My whole thing is it's in baseball, it's hard to prototype somebody. And if you're going to prototype, okay, I look at the Dodgers starting 5, I'm just going to prototype. It's impossible.
Yeah.
Now, you just can't do it.
I need to know about Ricky's background, and I don't need Ricky to answer the question, but I'm saying I am assuming, and I'm in bias because I'm thinking Connecticut, Bob, that Ricky grew up more like a Lynch than he did a Kincaid.
Uh-oh.
Okay, here's how I'll put it. I'll put it that Ricky
probably had the capabilities to grow up like a Lynch. Like, it was all there for him. But nah, Ricky was getting his knees scraped and his nose bloodied out in the streets.
I grew up very working middle class family.
So did I, for the record.
My parents. In Connecticut?
Yeah.
In Connecticut, what was that? What was
middle class?
What's middle class in Connecticut?
I don't know, like Norwalk, Connecticut.
Did you have a two car garage?
When I was little, one.
One car. Well, you had a garage. See, I believe that's always one car. That's one of my parameters.
We had a 3-bedroom house with 5 people in it.
Okay. That's not bad.
The basement was finished, so that's where we went and trashed it all.
See, I didn't even have a finished basement.
All right, what I would say is this, is that if you did not, I don't think if you grew up with a garage, I usually don't think you were, that's the
I know there was a
that's
garage
always the differentiation between middle class and working class.
We had a garage, but neither one of my parents drove, so it didn't really matter.
what did you do with the garage, Bob?
I sport
the baseball against
my day always consisted of, let's say you have school, right? Get up, go to school. Okay, you come home from school. What would I do? I'd be out playing that sport that was going on at that point during the year. Like if
come home
hockey,
for dinner,
we'd go out and play street hockey.
Right.
If it was football season, we'd be out playing football. If it was summer, forget it. I never left the park.
If Ricky was a dad of a boy, he would not have been one of those specialty baseball parents, I guarantee it.
My dad?
No, you.
Oh, if I had a boy?
If you were a dad to a boy, you would not have your kid playing 160 baseball games and be getting all other sports.
No chance.
You gotta play all the sports.
I would make sure you play every sport, get your enjoyment out of everything you can. What is the fun of being a one-sport wonder when you're a kid? I'd never understood that. I mean, at least think about this for a second. When you were young and you're like, wow, I want to go do something, and none of your friends are around? It's always basketball. You can bounce and go shoot some hoops.
Sure.
Cool, right?
Absolutely.
I don't know if you can go to the schoolyard by yourself anymore.
Yeah.
But back then you could. I was 7 years old going by myself. I didn't care. And I just think if you know other sports, you get different perspectives on things. You get different ways of showing your athletic abilities. And it helps. I was a catcher in college. That helped me pitching in the minors.
Your favorite baseball player?
Of all time?
Today. No, today playing the game.
A favorite? Oh, Freddie Freeman.
He's awesome.
There's nobody better than that guy.
Awesome guy, too.
That's a great pick.
Nobody
I like
better.
That.
Tremendous guy.
And by the way, talk about a guy you look at and know he's got a good baseball IQ.
Really?
Go. Oh, A number
one. Oh, he's fantastic.
That guy, I would start any team around. He is unbelievable. He's a great fielder. He's a great clubhouse guy, and he can rake all fields.
And he is a clubhouse leader by example.
Yeah.
Not by his voice.
That's fine with me.
He is a leader by example.
No, but he's...
Hard work ethic. But he always said Chipper rode him, like, to no end to teach him the way to be the leader.
Yeah, good.
And said, here's how you do it.
Yeah. Well, that's where there was something lost here.
So is Bryce going to ride Bohms?
Is he going to teach him?
Is he going to teach him?
No, I think the game... A lot of the game is changing in a different way. Okay, I'm going to say this.
Say it.
The participation trophy thing?
Yes.
I think that changed the world.
Yeah.
I really do, especially in sports. I think it changed the world for...
Hypersensitive.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because my daughter, they're in that age bracket.
Right.
My youngest daughter, when she was little, 7 years old, she'd be like, why are they giving me a trophy? I didn't deserve this.
Good job.
I don't know, hey, but good for you.
Somebody wants to say hello. It's Natural Lawn of America, 800 free seed. You're going to just agree
with it. What's up, brother? Oh,
no. Because.
What's going on, man? We got opening day, dude. Live and chickies and beets. You got to come over.
No, I have to go do my other thing.
Come on, man.
I got to be on NBC.
Come on,
I got
Ricky
pregame.
By the way, Ricky, you've just been punked.
Because
that is a celebrity impersonator doing Anthony Gargano.
There's no way.
Yeah, do it
hell.
Again. Yes, do it again.
Come on, Ricky Ball.
Are you serious? That's not him.
Thank you, Ricky Ball.
It's April Fool's Day.
No,
dude.
It's not me.
It's April Fool's Day.
It's definitely him.
No, it's not.
Yes,
by the way, I need you.
That's definitely him.
My little guy is all he's doing is playing baseball. So to what John said, I'm doing the opposite. And
he's making his kid go to 3-hour baseball
move.
Practices.
Let's make him go stand in left field for 3 hours and check balls.
Dude, every day the kid wants to go out and play. So I you know, all kidding aside, he loves the game. So it's like a dream of mine. The fact that he loves the game and he wants to play all the time.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. I mean, if you love the game, you just don't want the burnout.
No, I agree. Listen, John's right. We were just joking.
We're just
around.
Joking around.
But he's actually, you know, I mean, he's all right. He plays on his little travel team. So, but it's funny how it works, right? Like they go, you know, it's like 3 hour practice we had the other day.
It's crazy. Well, when he makes it to the majors, you can get some bets on him, and there's still time to pick a college basketball champion and get the best odds in the country. Do some prop swapping. Do some prop swapping with us. Go to propswap.com, where America buys and sells sports bets.
Ricky, kick off your season. We'll see you later today on television.
Absolutely. 1 o'clock, NBC Sports.
And we will see you every Thursday here with the John Kinkaisha. We're so thrilled to have you.
I'm thrilled to be here.
Let's hope they don't give you a reason to be angry in postgame today.
I like angry Ricky.
And don't say
so do I.
Yeah, but we want to win.
But I like happy Ricky.
And
usually opening day isn't the end all be all.
Yeah.
And at no time today do you say, blue paint! It's in the blue paint! You say, hey, have a great
day.
Couldn't
get through a show without
it. Opening day is here. No. Bob and Jamie and Pat and John, have a great one for Ricky Pitalico and the whole team. Have a great opening day, everybody.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.